lena iyabhlowa lena uyabona amaphephethu ahamba nomoya mayibe kakuhle nje iyekele into yovuthela umoya please. Thank you, honorable members, and the department, and all our guests, and the deputy minister. But, deputy minister, thank you for making time on behalf of the ministry to come and lead the presentation of the annual report for sports and recreation. Thank you very much. But you, as you know, we are going to release you when you come to the rents and cents and the nitty-gritties of the department. We'll release you, and then the DG is going to remain with us. But myself and the DG will settle the score for New Delhi, Deputy Minister, in your absence, because the gentleman was too friendly for me in Delhi. But I will tell comrades and members that the kind of a DG that we have is such an impeccable gentleman. But you must not be surprised if that is the opposite. But we are going to tell you the truth as soon as the DG, the Deputy Minister, gives way. But if the Deputy Minister is interested, because the Deputy Minister warned the DG that the DG, you are punching above your weight, and the DG continued to do that. So I'm going to deal with that matter as soon as we hear. So there will be unintended consequences that we are going to take here for the DG. DG, you still have an alliance with another lady today, and I want that alliance to surface so that we members and other people must be clear who are your friends. And I'm part of that friendship that we had the other time. But gentlemen and ladies and honourable members, firstly, we would like to join many people and thousands of people who wish Mama Sisulu a happy birthday. Mama Sisulu was the president of our movement, the United Democratic Front. In the absence of the leadership of the ANC, Mama Sisulu was part of the people that were giving us an inspiration for the demands of the people by United Democratic Front. So we wish Mama Sisulu a happy birthday, and that she must be strong. And then I think all what she has given to us has made us what we are and remain what we are. But you see, there are two things. And even in the Bible, when you go and plant a seed, there is this one that sits on top of the stones, and then the animals or the birds pick it up and eat it. And there are those seeds that goes deeper into the soil, and they grow, and they give fruit. And so there are other seeds that Mama Sisulu have gone through the cracks that have been taken by the birds. They could not translate what Mama Sisulu was all about. I'm not talking about you, Archie. At least you are what Mama Sisulu wanted you to be. But there are those that are beyond repair. Not those who have gone to cope, please. I am saying there are those that are beyond repair. So I'm not talking about the cope here. I'm talking about clear matters of the portfolio committee. But again, honorable members, as a sports portfolio committee, we joined again the country and the president in wishing South Africa in New Delhi a stunning performance, with a very little group of athletes to go there. We are not in a privileged economy like other countries where they are sending 400 athletes. I think we send about 200 athletes there. 143. We sent about 143, but we ended up on the top five. But now that the doping is still taking place and there are others that the medals are taken, that could make us to go a little bit higher because other people were performing miracles, and then yet they didn't know that next door there was a doping control office there. After you have break the record, they call you, can we discuss? And then they discuss, and later they find out, no, there's something not right with you. So we wish South Africa have done very well. And the High Commission for South Africa received us very well in New Delhi. So that is what we are doing. And the Banyana are playing the qualifications for the World Cup. And I've seen the president speaking to them. And I think we have an obligation as a committee also to lead that process. When the president is interacting and calling people to support Banyana Banyana, and then that is a direct call to us as a sports committee. So I think we'll do that. But wish them well and then success to the tournament. Deputy Minister, there are new processes that have unfolded in Parliament. I'm sure, as a member of the ANC, you know that there is a decision around the act that has been put in place for the money bills. That bill is now an act. It has put a lot of requirements for members of the committee to take into consideration when they are dealing with the annual reports. And those annual reports are based on strategic plan of the department, are based on the spending patterns of the department on the budget that they've requested, and they are depending on the Auditor General's comments on the report. And lastly, all those together are giving a direction, and therefore we must make recommendations as the portfolio committee to Parliament on issues that we want to be corrected, and those recommendations will be taken to the minister in charge, and the minister in charge would deal with those things that can deal with them immediately. But those that need an engagement, he will engage with the portfolio committee and wants to understand this recommendation, what it's all about. But centrally to all those honorable members is the value for money. Is that what the minister has presented to the portfolio committee political? If on the agenda of the department was centrally was the transformation, and the department and the ministry would say to the portfolio committee, I think we have an impact on the transformation of this country. And that impact comes because of the money that has been given to the department, appropriate to the department. And that is going to give the portfolio committee a little bit of a comfort and say, yes, we have gone elsewhere. If the money is for mass participation, we must coin that mass participation to its output and say to this output, is this mass participation just a hype which fade just like a mist when the sun rises? Or are we having a mass participation which translates the end product of this mass participation? Are these athletes that we have identified out of this mass participation, and therefore the product of mass participation yield this kind of the result? So those are the things that are expected from the portfolio committee recently, and to do that. Because, Deputy Minister, the issue of one size fits all is over nowadays. If our department spends 90% of the money and another department spends 10% of the money, It means continuously that department that spent 10% its capacity is to use the 10%, and therefore the 90% that they can't use must be given to the department that is performing, and we must give you the 10% because your capacity is limited to 10%. And we must also check the spending, that a department cannot spend for the first quarter, a department cannot spend for the second quarter, and a department cannot spend for the third quarter. But on the last quarter, the department spend the money for the three quarters. Then you wonder what kind of a capacity that quickly comes up and spend the whole money in the last quarter. Then we go and check, and then you find that there's what you call fiscal dumping. The money has been dumped to municipalities and all these other things, and we are checking on those issues that are there. So I think, honourable members, those are issues that we want to deal with. And then lastly, we're going to deal with the question of, as a political party and as a ruling party, as government, the vision for this government centered around the Freedom Charter. And that Freedom Charter is what kind of a society do you want to see in sports? Non-racial, non-sexist, and a free society in sport. Is this budget addressing those kind of that national vision of 1955 that the organization is built on? And definitely that has to translate to that kind of a vision, and saying, are we building a society that the ANC wants to see built? Because inevitably, one day when another party takes over here, will say, we want to see only white people thriving in this country. It will be their policy. And therefore, time to time, they'll be interacting with that policy and check, is it correct? The question of the white agenda is going on. But with us in the African National Congress, it's a non-racial, non-sexist type of agenda. Are we fulfilling that agenda in sports and oppression? And the Deputy Minister is going to tell us on political leadership that on the State of the Nation address by the President and on January 8th statement of the ruling party, the African National Congress, when they pronounce on the two documents at the beginning of the year, does the Department of Sport make a turnaround and say boxing, the January 8th statement says this, and therefore you have to make a turnaround, and the opening address of the President, State of the Nation address, speak on these issues, and therefore we're not driving a car that goes on one side. As soon as the driver says that it must turn, all of us make that U-turn and follow the driver. So is boxing, so is drug free, so is the sport. But the leader of the three of the two entities is the Department of Sports and Recreation. That is the leader of this entity. There are entities there because they are having the boards, and those boards are accountable to Parliament and to the Ministry. And but the direction, the everything is shaped by the Department of Sports and Recreation to those entities. So we are going to get to those, and the Minister, members are going to interact with what the Minister is going to present to us. And then as soon as all questions have been entertained, we will release Comrade Deputy Minister, and then we'll remain with the DG. DG, we are having a very awkward program in Parliament today. There are pieces of legislation that we are voting for, and we are instructed that we must be in the House to vote for those pieces of legislation. So when we break here at 1 o'clock, we will break at 1 o'clock, and then we'll come back at 4 up until at 10 at night, because we have to finish this annual report today. So we're going to push it up until 10, 11 o'clock, whatever time we finish with it, so that tomorrow the committee secretary must start finalizing and deal with the annual report. On the 29th, this annual report must be tabled, and then so that it must be taken by Parliament as tabled and with the recommendation. And therefore, we're going to break from 2 o'clock up until 4. At 4 o'clock, when we come back, we're going to meet at M314. M314. It's in Max Building, down there. M314. We're going to meet there up until we finish our work. The only person that is released for the reasons that have been submitted to me by the DG is Kelly. But all of us are going to stay here up until we finish the annual report. I've said to Dr. Ngatan, he must know that, and then he has agreed with me, at least for the first time, he has agreed with me, and therefore he's going to stay up until we finish the report. And then I've spoken to the DG. He was very nice with me in New Delhi, and then he said, no, Chair, we will come in back on the 20th. All of us will be there. We'll stay up until you finish the report. I said, thank you, DG. You know, you are a revolutionary DG. So thank you very much for that. And so, Comrade Deputy Minister, thanks for coming, my Deputy Minister. So I'm giving over to you to lead us in laying down the work that you have done for a year and whether you have achieved what you have asked for this committee to appropriate for you. And centrally to that is what our organization has given us a mandate. Are we about to fulfill that mandate? Are we moving to the right direction on that mandate or not? Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you so much. Honorable members of the committee, and I see the boxing boards also present. Honorable Chair, before we start formally, perhaps just to introduce the contingent of the department that we have here, with your permission, we have here the Director General, Mr. Vernie Peterson, and then we have down there Ms. Lulu Suzani, Chief Director, Corporate Services. Next to her, Mrs. Sumaya Khan, our COO. Next to that, the man with the shortest hands, he can't reach into the pocket to get the checkbook, the Chief Financial Officer of the Department, Date Matlala. Next to him, our Director of School Sport, Ms. Rini Naidu. Then Professor Paul Singh, Chief Director International and Client Support Services. Next to him, Dr. Bernardus van der Spey, who is our Chief Director, Executive and Strategic Support. And then, obviously, our well-known Kelly Nkwant, who is our Director of Community Sport. We also have sitting there at the back one of my small little favorite girls that's hiding from me now, the Ratu Mohorosi. And I see we also have Chair, I'm not too sure whether the committee has met, Mr. Charles Make, who is the Chief of Staff in the ministry. Charles, perhaps you should just stand up so that the honorable members can see you. Mr. Marker, newly appointed by the minister. Honorable Chairperson, it's like always, like we say in Afrikaans, it's no lekker om hier te wees. It's good to be here. Afford me to apologize for Mr. Stofile for not being here today. Mpundisi is, as we speak, traveling from, he should be in South Africa within the next couple of hours safely. He is traveling from the IOC in the ANOCA meeting that was in Acapulco, Mexico, and he couldn't make it to be here, but he's with us in his heart. And I thought, Chair, that it would be appropriate to just quote something that the minister says in his foreword to the annual report. He says the year 2020 is the 16th year of our democracy, the year during which South Africa has a lot to celebrate. However, it remains true now more than ever before that more still needs to be done. There are still many hills to climb in the journey of hope to the South Africa of our dreams. He goes on to say the environment we work in is not what we would have preferred. As such, we are required from time to time to stop and reflect on the work that we have done. With the benefit of hindsight, we then search forward with greater resolve. The President enjoins us to do things differently and understand this to mean more haste by all of us in delivering quality service within the current laws. Honourable Chairperson, that remains so true. In fact, not in responding to what the chair said, but in fact we know that every year after the Sona, which is followed by the January 8th statement, we reflect on our strategic plan and our business plans to incorporate and to work within the environment which the minister speaks to in his forward to the annual report. But Chair, thank you for the opportunity to introduce to you the 2009-10 annual report of this department. Now, Chair, afford me to say that we are proud to introduce this report this morning. Because, you know, Chair, we do so with a clean audit report this year. We had a basis of qualification on 2007-8-3, 2008-1, 2009-10-0. Now, that was the Auditor General. We are proud to do that. But the annual report on the review is also published in the year of 2010 FIFA World Cup. And Chair, the success of the 2010 FIFA World Cup was beyond anything that any person had anticipated or expected. There can be no doubt that the World Cup has changed our country forever. And if I say that in terms of nation building, in terms of social cohesion, and in terms of leaving a lasting legacy, there was no other event that could come close to this. In fact, there were build-ups, but we've learned from that. It was very clear to every South African, to every African or tourist that attended the spectacle of 2010 FIFA World Cup, that they, like the advertisement was saying, feel it, that they felt something special in South Africa. Most of them could not describe what it was, but all agreed that it was that made the experience memorable. Comrade Chair, never before the country with all its people rallied and united in the support of the national team of football, Bafana Bafana, as we've seen during the World Cup. Never before were campaigns such as Football Friday and Fly the Flag so successful in uniting the entire nation in support of our national football team in country. And it speaks to what you alluded to, Honorable Chairperson, the vision of the majority party, uniting the people of this country, saying that together we can do more. You alluded to Banyana Banyana. Now, Honorable Chair, on Sunday last week, our president was made the patron of the African Women's Soccer Championships, which is a qualifier for the FIFA 2011 Women's World Cup in Germany. The President also urged us to mobilize South Africa in support of Banyana Banyana. So we are working on introducing a concept like Football Friday again in support of our national team. And I've got no doubt, Honorable Chair, looking at the score in the warm-up game against Zimbabwe, 4-0, that our girls know exactly how to shoot and when to shoot. We are, in fact, expecting great things of them. But, Honorable Chair, the department also fulfilled its mandate by monitoring, in terms of 2010, the construction of stadia to ensure that they comply with the FIFA standards and that we meet the deadlines. Facilitating the training of volunteers, we've done so admirably, and in mobilizing South Africans to support through establishing clubs in the South African Football Association regions. In addition, Chair, a key area of responsibility was to oversee the delivery of the 17 guarantees, which translated into 24 projects for 2010. I'm talking about those guarantees signed by government with FIFA. The department also provided institutional support to the 2010 Local Organizing Committee, to the Technical Coordinating Committee, the Interministerial Committee under the chairpersonship of the Deputy President, the various cabinet, Makhotla, FOSAT, and the Host Cities Forum. Now, Honorable Chair, we all know that in the build-up to 2010, lots of stories were told about how we're going to fail, and we just as South Africans got down to work and showed them. I want to share with the committee something that speaks to the success that we as a South African nation achieved. The Sports Cities and Nations Guide listed the leading sports cities and nations. And I have here the leading sports cities. It's one, Berlin, then London, then Beijing, then Johannesburg, then Moscow, Paris, Tokyo, Rio de Janeiro, Melbourne and Doha. Johannesburg number 4 out of 10. It's not us saying that, it's the Sports Cities and Nations Guide. In terms of leading sports nations, they say it's Germany, China, United Kingdom, South Africa, Canada, Italy, Russia, Japan, Brazil, Spain. In other words, Honorable Chairperson, independently people viewed, judged, and weighed us and said, well, Johannesburg number 4 as a leading sports city, leading sport nation number 4, South Africa. It's the only country on the analysis here that takes position number 4. Now that tells us something, not only of the success, what we've achieved as a nation, but it tells us something of being a host. You know, Chair, the branding exercise that accompanied 2010 was so good that the market comment, now we must remember that on the 11th of July, Honorable Chairperson, was the closing ceremony of the 2010 FIFA World Cup. Now, the first measurement you could get in market comment was in August. And let me quote, in just the last 10 days of August, foreigners have invested a whopping 9.9 billion rand in South African bonds, another 5.3 billion in our equity market, making a total of 15.2 billion rand that's entered South Africa. They did so, Honorable Chair, because at the end of the day, we dispelled the notion of Afro-pessimism successfully. We proved everybody wrong, and we can proudly claim as South Africans collectively that we've achieved much more than the world wanted us to do. In fact, it's further said that approximately 25 to 28% of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange is now, which is around 264 billion rand, in South African equities are held by foreigners. It tells us a story of success, because we all know when money is invested through bonds and through direct foreign investment, we're creating jobs. But Honorable Chair, there are other interesting things of the World Cup, and I ask you to bear with me because it's an incredible story. We've heard about tickets and throughout the build-up to 2010, I said, but these guys aren't going to make it. Reality is, a total of 3,178,856 spectators watched the 64 games in three stadiums. It was the third highest aggregate attendance, only behind the United States of America and Germany. More than 3 million tickets were sold. It presents 97% of vegetable tickets. 140,000 hospitality packages were sold. 145 packages sold were sold through 92 tour operators. But very interesting, Chair, the reach must go further. The Waka Waka. The Waka Waka song charted number 1 in 15 countries, selling over 1 million singles, with a video viewed over 70 million times on YouTube. It tells us a story about that. Chair, we go to catering. It's very interesting how many bottles of cold drink and beer were sold. I can give the figures if the committee so wishes. On the 245 channels to 204 countries, we had great success. For the first time ever, we had 3D broadcasted in cinemas. 25 of the 64 matches were broadcasted. 11 TV stations showed the 25 matches live in home on 3D, and 646 cinemas in 39 countries showed 25 matches offered live in 3D. Online, there were 150 million unique users. In other words, Chair, more than triple the traffic recorded during the 2006 event in Germany. We had 6.4 billion page views, which means 1 million hits a second, and that more than 220,000 followers on Twitter accounts. Chair, I'm just mentioning that to say 2010 was a great success for this department and for the country. Another major project of the department linked to the 2010 FIFA World Cup was our Kinmako village in Boksburg, Ikulurin. The initiatives at the event included sport, politics, culture, and business, with an exciting exhibition and an ambitious program, which included front panel discussions, cultural events, and various youth activities. The organizers record that more than 100,000 visitors from all over the world visited this international football village. Now, honorable members, looking back at the events that were hosted at the football village, we are confident that the main aim of the village was achieved, and that was the creation of sustainable partnerships between business, culture, and sport. But, honorable chair, we say that we cannot stop our hard work now. Yes, it may be the combination of years of hard work, but the 2010 FIFA World Cup is only the start. The historic legacy now challenges us to sustain the image created, to deepen the social cohesion and national unity that we've experienced, and to build on the legacy projects that we've started. In short, the spirit of Kinmako must live on. We must keep on feeding it. There is, for example, honorable chairperson, a major opportunity with regards to sports tourism. Many of the people who have visited our country expressed the wish to come back. What we need to do is to explore this potential and to mine it. We have to acknowledge that there is a new international drive to utilize the potential of tourism, sport, and mega events to the benefit of countries worldwide. Now, Chair, this drive resulted in the United Nations World Tourism Organization and South Africa co-hosting the inaugural summit on tourism sport in mega events in Johannesburg this year from the 24th to 6th of February, where the President of our country officiated. To further position South Africa as a sports tourism destination beyond 2010 in the FIFA World Cup, we entered into a partnership agreement between Sport and Recreation and the Department of Tourism, and we have signed that with tourism. So we are doing what government is saying. Working together, we are achieving more, and we see that we are achieving more. In fact, we have forwarded bids to host international events. We were successful in some. Some are still underway. We have the World Transplant Games in 2013, the IOC session by December this year, and the full assembly next year in July in the Itakwini Durban municipality area. We have supported SAFA in the bid for 2015 African Cup of Nations. We can report that our feedback is that we through the first phase. We are silently very confident, Chair, and yes, we've not lost our appetite to mine the field of sports tourism. Honorable Chairperson, the annual report under reporting, in it it's evident that during the 2009-10 financial year, the department continued to focus on creating an enabling environment, ensuring that as many South Africans as possible had access to sport and recreation activities, and with an emphasis on those from disadvantaged communities. The department furthermore endeavored to increase international sport success by improving performances. In this regard, special attention was given to young and up-and-coming athletes. Honorable members, sport at the elite, as well as at the community level, was promoted in a wide variety of ways with the aim to promote social inclusion. We firmly believe that the unique attributes of sport and recreation represent a significant, yet share largely untapped source of potential for enhancing and even accelerating development and peace efforts worldwide, particularly those related to attaining the Millennium Development Goals. It is our opinion that the department needs to look at ways to use sport and recreation as a tool in achieving the Millennium Development Goals, as well as promoting development and peace. It's to this end that we urge the department to start working closely with the United Nations Sport for Development and Peace International Working Group, with the aim to maximize the potential of sport and recreation and peace and development initiatives. Honorable Chair, the word peace is sometimes used in various scenarios. Here we're talking about peace building and peacekeeping. And I think as South Africans, as we sit here, we have seen what sport contributed to peace building, feeding into social cohesion, feeding into nation building. But we have an obligation to also use that tool to peacekeeping, also beyond the borders of this country. We have an obligation there. But, Chair, we think it is important to also remind members that the International Olympic Committee, through its Sport and Environment Commission, made a call to all nations to use sport as a tool for sustainable development. In this regard, to this end, we've asked the department to make a call to the sporting fraternity to consciously make a contribution in the global effort for a sustainable environment. We have to, Chair, address the issues of global warming and climate change also in the sports environment. If we just look at 2010, what was done and achieved by the Department of Environmental Affairs, in fact, there's a report, DJ, I don't know whether we can make that available to the Honorable Committee. I can't see there would be a problem with that. To see what it is that they've achieved with us in partnership already to this end, it also speaks to the bigger picture and the bigger obligation that we have. Honorable Chair, a major challenge for the department and all other role players in sport and recreation remains the provisioning of facilities. You know, Chair, since the incorporation of funds for sport and recreation into the municipal infrastructure grant, we've seen a decline in the building of sport and recreation facilities. What we did as a department, we lobbied for a separate allocation or ring-fencing of funds for sport. We did so, and you may recall, Chair, the previous Minister Mufamadi in Parliament on Hansard confirmed that the monies are ring-fenced. However, I don't want to go that route now. However, what's important, through our engagements with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs and the National Treasury, we have not as yet been totally successful with these two institutions to get our proposal the way we would like it. We are aware, Chair, of the resolution of the majority party in Polokwane, and we want to assure this honorable committee we are making progress, not as fast as we would like to see, but I think we're around the bend as far as that's concerned. Honorable Chairperson, you alluded to the performance of Team South Africa at the Commonwealth Games in Delhi. Allow me to add, just prior to the Commonwealth Games, we had the Youth Olympics in Singapore, the inaugural event, where we did well. We maintained our position as number 5 in the world amongst 71 nations. But let me observe, what we now need to do is not only to unite in our support for Team South Africa in preparation of the London 2012 Olympics. Chair, what needs to be done, and we've had discussions with the Democratic Body SASCOC to this effect already, we're awaiting the analysis, is to say, where is it that we can improve? Where do we know and see potential that is untapped, and what mechanisms can be put in place to fast-track and to catch up. Let me be practical. We have the defense force, we have the police, and so on. They have snipers. They have people that can shoot very well. Must we not go there and look who are the people that knows how to shoot? So it's Olympic, code that we put them in the training session for Team South Africa to achieve. I'm just observing, saying, when we say we must devise strategies and means beyond that and see what it is, the president says we must do things differently. This is exactly the aim that we want to achieve. Honorable Chairperson, thank you so much for affording us to introduce this annual report with these observations. I'm convinced that the committee will have some questions, but if it meets with your approval, the Director General and the team, capable team here, will take the Honorable Committee through our annual report, engage, give transparent and honest answers, and say what needs to be done. Let me just conclude by one observation, Chair. Our challenge is to, with the money available, make every rand count to the maximum. We have to therefore focus and refocus on value for money. This you will hear from the department, because this is a drive of the ministry whenever we engage the department. But we have to go one step further, Chair. We have to succeed in amending the National Lotteries Act so that we have a distribution arm with the Department of Sport and Recreation, which would then enable us to sit down and to say, with the money available, not augment the shortfall in the budget, because we're dealing with an economic crisis worldwide, and as a country we've done exceptionally well. But with the money available in the pot, in the pool, how do we deploy that rand to the maximum benefit of sport in South Africa, bearing in mind the transformative and developmental imperatives that we have to face in this country? You see, Chair, in conclusion, it's sometimes sad to see it right in your face, the need, but the rands are not there to sufficiently and effectively address those needs. So let me ask you, Chair, through this committee, Honorable Committee of ours, if you can succeed in raising our budget, we will be a very happy department and we'll make you proud. But I request that in our endeavors to search for more money, MIG for facilities to eradicate the backlog, lottery money to align it from developmental grassroots so that we get the starting line for the children of this country the same, right through to high performance, even if we have to, as I alluded to, be innovative in our interventions there. At the end of the day, any support is welcome, and we see strong partners in our portfolio committee and our select committee to achieve what we all know we have to achieve in the 16th year of our democracy. Thank you so much, Chair, honorable members, for your kind attention.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Very emotional and can you switch it off? Thanks for the political input and the direction in which we want to go, and the challenges that are faced by the department, and the success that the department has made out of the little funds that we have. Before opening up for members to get clarity from the minister, welcome Donald and Tandi and the honourable member Sebong Asismozi. Honourable members, Deputy Minister, you spoke on the issues, but I want to reconfirm the special gratitude to different political parties in this committee, who from the inception of this idea of the World Cup, they have never waived. They have never said the World Cup is going to be a futile, useless exercise. I'm sure most of the time people think that I have a membership of the DA and the ANC. I'm not. I have only the membership of the African National Congress. But the 15.2 billion that you're talking about, the honorable member of the IFP who have left this committee and Donald Lee, when there was a crisis, people asking, what are we going to get into our pocket so that we must be rich quickly out of the 2010 World Cup? And they said that there is nobody is going to be rich out of the World Cup. But the investment that is going to come to this country is going to be huge. And these members of this committee are vindicated by that. 15.2 billion investment in this country. It's significant. And immediately a month after the close of the World Cup. And you can imagine the exposure that this country has and how many people again are beginning to position themselves to invest in this country. I'm saying to all of you comrades and members of the Sports Portfolio Committee, you have done this country proud, and then you have made this country proud. You have been the great patriots of this country against the very ruthless media that has failed that we will not be able to succeed. We succeeded. A year before the World Cup, Nelson Mandela was ready to can play any game in their stadium. So thank you very much. Deputy Minister, the sad part that has happened on the 2010 World Cup, very sad. I have seen on the Transport Portfolio Committee, the chair of that committee, and that committee was very clear, unambiguous, in saying the CEO of PRASA and all other people, they are spending even less than what they expected to spend on making sure that the people of this country benefit and go to the World Cup in terms of buying tickets. We are saying this committee, we support those departments unashamedly who spend money and give to poor people to attend to the World Cup. With us, we had a face, an egg on our face, Deputy Minister. Members of this committee, it was a struggle for them to be able to go to this World Cup. It's the water under the bridge. We're not going to discuss that. The other thing is that we have gone to different countries, and members of the United Kingdom, 10 MPs were here, and the speaker told me that they are here, they are visiting for the World Cup. I contacted JJ, he knows about that. But when we went there, we were king, and then Parliament and the department hosting these members of Parliament who are doing an investigation about the World Cup. We went to Germany. I was walking in the public viewing areas, in the stadiums and anywhere. Members of the German Bundestag were here, six of them. We never, our department and ourselves, honored those people because they said that South Africa, you are going to make it, and then we are going to be with you when you celebrate. The ambassador for the German will testify that the German people were here, members of parliament, and the members of the South Korea parliament, who made us to visit them and show us their World Cup and everything, were here. But our department was not in a position to do that. And DG, with the admission of the deputy minister, he's saying the branding of this country, Donald, the The marketing of this country, it was immense. It could not take billions for such a contingency to have been made for members of this committee, including probably those members, because we knew that they are coming, those members from those different countries, they're coming to this parliament. And I think in the next time, let's do things differently, as the president says, and see how this committee, together with the department, is able to receive those people that are supposed. In fact, a painful thing, when I landed in Johannesburg, I met the chair of the NCOP. I said, "Are you not coming?" I said, "That where?" He said that, "No, there is an occasion." What was it? African. There was the opening or the reception of the official reception by the department to countries that have come to. So I said that I don't know about that. He said, "No, come chair. It's here in Johannesburg." I said that, "No, I can't come where I'm not. Maybe there are reasons why the NCOP only and the members of the NA are not informed." I didn't go. Wendy was in pain to explain to me how important it should be for us to be able to attend that occasion where our department is having a reception of that kind. I am not mourning on behalf of these members, but I'm just stating a fact, the extent that they honestly and sincerely put their weight, with at times taking 2 weeks away from their families and say, "We want the World Cup to succeed. That was our mission." Other things would seem later. The volunteers that were there, people with disabilities, dignitaries, and many other people, maybe the DG will inform us that, no, we're able to give volunteers, because those volunteers, nothing did they ever receive. The only thing that they could be able to get is for them to go to some other games when they are not working, where our own department says to them, "Thank you." Instead, the department has dealt with this thing in a very scaring way, that the media and everybody is going to say what when we spend this money. And I think we must be bold. We must not be determined our destination by other people, ourselves. We must be the determiners of our own destination. And this committee, we defend that. We're saying, if you have not spent any money for anybody for the World Cup, it's unfortunate. It's the water under the bridge. But if you have done that, we would say, why you have not doubled that amount of money? And we would be, all of us, defending that and say, you could have doubled that amount of money, because what this country is going to be all about is going to be little than the impact and the branding of this country after the 2010 World Cup. That was just an admission. I don't want to open that discussion, but I think it was important for us to raise that point, because members were just begging. DG had endless calls around members to go, members not go, and all those other things. But it's a water under the bridge. But we're saying next time, we must not do that. The first committee that matters most is this one, the Sports and Recreation, and the other people who are in alliance here. But I think DG, they deserve better than we've given to them during the World Cup. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we are opening up questions for clarity, questions for the minister on what the minister has laid to us as direction. Comrade Cora, Comrade Cedric, Comrade Lindy, Honourable Lee, let me go this way so that I must not create confusion. Mackenzie, JJ, and Donald Lee. Let's go in that way so that at least we'll take the first round and go to the last round. Thank you. Comrade Cora.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Firstly, if the minister could explain, you know, one is in this committee. I'm in the second term in this committee. People would ask you, what has this committee achieved? It's difficult to point to say what is.
You people are talking about facilities as you've raised it in your input. You don't come clear to say what is this obstacle with this MIG. Why can't this thing be resolved? Because this thing has been coming for years. I remember even during the time of the former President Beke, this question of building for sport was raised with him. It is very difficult, and people know that you serve in this committee. The issues which you've raised, which you have achieved in this 2010, it would have been good if those things had reflected in this report. Just the achievements, so that one can say this is what was achieved in the 2010. Because I've read this thing, I must say. The one issue which you have not touched on, to me, is the transformation agenda. You know, Deputy Minister, it is so difficult when AFSA spoke about the issue of the numbers. It's a true reflection because they put in money to see that the demographics of this country is represented in all these federations. And if we don't speak about this transformation agenda, Deputy Minister, in wherever we go, these federations must know that there's an agenda. And instead of transformation happening in this country, in sport, it's reversing. And it's so. Let me stop there. I'll come again.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Let me firstly say that we appreciate the economic achievements of the country with the hosting of the FIFA 2010 Soccer World Cup and also the great effort that was put in by all South Africans to make the event a success. But as you have articulated, Chairperson, in terms of the role and responsibility of this portfolio committee, you have articulated it adequately that the department does not necessarily take us serious in this regard. Chairperson, the Deputy Minister reflected on the new focus that the department will have on the attainment of the MDGs, and I think that is good because sport and recreation definitely has a role to play there. And we will also call that in our future interactions that can be a standalone item, so that we can see how these MDGs or how sport can contribute towards achieving these MDGs. It's a very important for the country. There's a country report and there's also a parliamentary report that is expected now, so you have our full support as far as that is concerned. However, Chairperson, the Deputy Minister did not reflect on the statutory obligations that the department has in terms of the National Sport and Recreation Amendment Act of 2007. It is just briefly mentioned on page 12 in the annual report. And one would like to find out from the Deputy Minister whether the department is on track in terms of implementing that piece of legislation. Secondly, Chairperson, I want to concur with the Honorable Dikgatswe in terms of the issue of transformation. The department is silent. And in this respect, I must say that one needs really to congratulate APSA as a major sponsor of sport in South Africa for the visionary approach that they have taken and proactive stance they have taken in terms of transformation in rugby. Because when we as politicians raised it over the years, it looked as if that we are meddling in the affairs of an independent entity called rugby. But now that the sponsors have raised it, one would hope that the remarks won't fall on deaf ears. It would have also been more proactive if the department could have raised those issues. And one would also like to know, since performance agreements are concluded with the department, whether there's regular interaction between the department and the relevant sport federations to achieve the targets of transformation. Then lastly, Chairperson, the Deputy Minister mentioned the amendments that are necessary to the National Lotteries Act and also the municipal infrastructure grant problems that's been experienced there. But it's not the first time that we are a Chairperson. One would like to know from the Deputy Minister, what are they doing at the executive level in Cabinet? Because the colleagues from trade and industry are sitting in Cabinet. The Minister of Cooperative Governance are sitting in Cabinet. And surely, if there is difficulties in terms of advancing along the executive route, then we must be informed as a portfolio committee, because portfolio committees can also propose certain legislation that is originating from the portfolio committee level so that we can address these problems. But I find it unacceptable that year after year we are hearing the same thing from the minister or deputy minister about the lotteries and the infrastructure grant, but we don't hear what interventions are they trying to implement at the level. And then lastly, Chairperson, all departments will go to their relevant portfolio committees and ask for more money. And there's, of course, most certainly a case that can be made for it. But Chairperson, and I speak for myself, I need to be convinced that the hundreds of millions of rands that the department is appropriating for the mass participation program is achieving the desired outcomes. You know, in the areas where we have our constituencies and where we live, and we visit some of these sites where these mass participation programs are being implemented, the apps and that, it is shocking to see. And you ask yourself, as a member of this portfolio committee, can it really be justified that we are requested to give more money if we are not even satisfied that the existing budget is spent to advance the interests of sport in the country?
Colleague Lenny.
My question is that the Deputy Minister did not say anything about the women and girls participation in sport. What's the department doing to increase women and girls participation in sport?
Thank you, Lindy. The Congress of the People. Don't tell us about court. Just talk about the question. Please.
Yeah, it's easier to expel her. Chairperson, I just want to say that I regret to tell you that the first time I've seen this document is when I walked in here today. Nothing has been put in my pigeonhole. I have not been able to prepare for this meeting, and I don't know why. I have received absolutely nothing. But I will say that...
Just wait. Gatipur, can you explain this? Because almost everybody has this. Can you explain, Gatipur? Why is COPE not having this document?
Mr. Chair, they've been sent. It's not working. This the documents have been sent. They've been sent to all the members. And
by who?
Myself and Nongeba. Personally, I've put them in there. So it could be a matter of Honourable McKenzie not having. Perhaps linking up with the assistant collecting. I'm not sure, maybe today or yesterday. But I have dispatched this. And evidence of that is that Honorable Lee has got it and other
morning.
Members. But okay. These things have been sent last week already and yesterday as well, as the copies will come in. Thank
yeah.
you.
Because at the time when we were going on recess, the annual reports have not yet been tabled to the speaker. On the week after we went on recess, when I was here, then this annual report was tabled and in the National Assembly to the speaker, and then it was accepted. And that time, all of us were not around. And then the only time that we were able to be here was today. But I was expecting probably that as from Monday, in the pigeonholes of different members, there will be those documents. It's not about people getting it at the time when we were on recess, but because members knew that our committee was not meeting and then it was a committee week, and therefore by Monday, every document could have been in the pigeonhole, and then today or yesterday, then members will be able to get it. We apologize, Honorable Mackenzie, for that. But all of us were supposed to get the document as from Monday, and today, having those documents in our position. Thank you. You can go on.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think my colleagues to my left will say that they only got theirs this morning, some of them, and some of them haven't even got theirs this morning. But anyway, I've got really nothing to add. I think Comrade Cora and Comrade Cedric have summed it up, and that they reflect my views entirely. Thank you.
Thank you. JJ?
Mr. Chair, I've been around every week. I was here in Cape Town and in my office, and I unfortunately wasn't there yesterday, so I only got mine also this morning. So I just want to echo what my colleague has been saying, but to me, just a few things. The problem which we are sitting with and which we must discuss and make sure that it's positive. The World Cup was positive, but I haven't gone through this report, but to me, the stadiums is a problem. All the stadiums, I mean, that's we can't wait another year. We must settle that, or we must make a decision how that can be solved.
Just clarify, what is the problem with the stadium?
No, the cost of using a stadium for Ajax or for a club,
okay.
or so. So from the national sport, something must be done that it's cheaper for Ajax, Santos, and so on. I mentioned Western Cape, but I mean all over South Africa. It was mentioned about the MIG. I attended the handing over of the multipurpose center in O'Keeffe. It was really good to be there. Perhaps something must be done those type of multi-purpose sports centers is placed all over the country, especially in the rural areas. Little bit too small, to my belief. It must be a little bit bigger so that you can use it for all type of sports. School sports, we are going to deal with that later, so I'm not going to touch on that now. The 2010, a lot of successes and so on. I questioned the matter of how finances and the finances was used for fan parks. I asked that we must get audited financial statements, especially the money that was used in all the fan parks over the country. So I'm just mentioning it again. I attended the meeting where in the Marx building of when South Korea delegation from their parliament was here. I think that could have been very, very helpful if schools representative from the department attended. I think that can be very much valuable for our schools enrichment and empowerment of our children. We've got a problem with schools that the value of a child isn't the same as when we were children. Drugs and so those type of things are in the order of the day. So there's many lessons to be learned from that meeting, and they spelled out that we visit them over there. They visited us to see what is being done about scouts in schools in South Africa. They are promulgating acts on that matter, and it can be helpful for the development of the body, the child, the full person of a child in schools. So that's a few comments which I just want to make. We can discuss other things later. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, JJ. Tandi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Deputy Minister, for spending time to be with us here. I'm going to be nice today, don't worry.
You
I was listening, it will be comments, basically, to say that, Chairperson, we also agree that the World Cup was a success as well. But issues that I want to raise, Political Minister, number one, I want to speak on the agenda issue. As we have touched the issue about Bafana Bafana, if you remember, I'm raising it because it might be political support or is it administrative support. That's why I met the famous Kelly when we launched the SAUFA, if you remember, Chairperson. And that structure has just diminished, even at departmental level. There's nothing that we're receiving on gender issues. And we've got a legislative mandate on gender issues to say that part of our priorities is with those who are disadvantaged, people living with disability, and women. And but there's nothing that is said. I remember, Kelly, you were running that program. It was coming on, and I don't know what happened to it. Because the first question that we would get from communities, as Comrade Cedric says, that in our constituencies, people want to know what happened to it. We cannot say we will achieve certain goals in sports when we still sideline women, when we still sideline. I think it's an issue that has to be taken seriously. But secondly, Minister, we agree with you that the money that the department has is minimal. You know, I mean, sports is life, as the president of the IOC has said. But for us to fight as a committee with whoever that is diminishing money, we must also get honest answers, you know, because we can't fight with treasure or fight with whoever with the appropriations committee when we don't get honest answers from your department. Some might think we are grilling them or we are being unfair to them, but we've got a mandate as well. On the issue of the transformation agenda, we are just going back instead of going forward. We are very unpopular of raising some of the questions. You see the concentration that we may make mistake, that we do, where we make a mistake politically. We only concentrate on the major three: cricket, rugby, what's the other one? Okay. And soccer. We don't speak about all these federations that are there. And I must be honest on the committee. They are really making money out of those federations. We still have, 10 years ago when I was in sports, when I started joining, the same president who was a president 15 years back of roller skating, that's still the president. The wife is still the secretary. The child is a treasure. And we are scared to speak about those things. And it's happening. And the same department is giving money to those because they want to transform the sports side. I am tired of attending sports and seeing the same people over and over again. Because now you see yourself, where is the transformation agenda? And the same people, unfortunately, have to say this, are those who are advantaged in the past. You still see the same people over and over again. We have a body, SASCOC. I once asked in one of the meetings, while the president minister, can you just pull your head, yourself up with the transformation, with the confederation of sports? But I don't see. Instead, the other ones also are contributing to the failures of sports. I just read a little about the report. I'm happy to see that there is a reconfiguration of the white paper, and we hope, as they said, the deadline is 2010. end of 2010, and we hope it's time. We've been speaking over and over again. On the issue of the MPP, there's no way that you can transform sports when the MPP is not strong. There are areas, if you remember, by then President Thabombe, who said there were nodal areas. And I'm not sure how far and when are we going to reach those areas. You know, there are places, you see what I've realized when I do my concessions work. The township people, they don't have more interest in sport than the rural ones, the most rural ones. They play with their feet. They still make the ball out of plastics and roll it until it becomes a big ball. And then the honesty part of it is that maybe let the department do more on outreach programs with the support of yourself from the executive as well. Comrade Cedric and Cora have spoken about the Millennium Development Goals, so I'm not sure. The facilities as well. I don't have too much to say. I just say it's just an issue that we're speaking about it and speaking about it, you know, as well. Lastly, also on the issue of gender, I hope the chief director and all the women in the department, they all use makeups, they all use perfumes. I was saying, is it not time on these gender issues as well to say that these cosmetic companies must sponsor women's sports? And that call must come from people like us. We buy makeup and everything, but they've never sponsored. We always look on one spot. I'm just saying, Minister, when we see that maybe it must come from you, we say now, it's the Lord, start sponsoring sports. Because these women are using a product, you know. I think let's not be closed on thinking and looking for sponsorship as well. And I would like to thank you. We will work well with the department if they also work well with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Tandy. Donald?
Thanks, Chairperson. You know, you say that you sometimes they question your ANC membership, whether you are ANC or DA Chairperson. And the same thing is happening to me, Chairperson. But the same thing is happening to me in my party. They don't know whether I'm DA or ANC anymore, Chairperson. I'm called Lee Compellant these days, Chairperson. But, Chairperson, a few things. Thank you for appreciating the fact that the World Cup was a multi-party effort. It was a South African effort, Chairperson. And thanks for saying that and appreciating that fact, Chairperson. Secondly, Chairperson, yes, it was a massive success. But as far as I'm concerned, there were one or two problems, Chairperson. One of the big problems was match. I, in my interaction with them, I was very, very disappointed. They dumped tickets. They did all the things, you know, at the last minute they did things at the expense of South Africans, Chairperson. And many small people really suffered. I'm talking about small businesses, Chairperson. They suffered. And you know, in fact, the DG also suffered. Because when people called me, I called him. And he couldn't answer. And he referred me to a mister with a very foreign name. The big chief of match. And he always sort of... what's his surname? The surname. That the man who made so many promises. He made so many promises, Chairperson. And he never kept the promises, Chairperson. So my disappointment really was the way that match really treated South Africans and South African businesses, Chairperson. We were exploited. Now, coming to the trip to India, I really want to congratulate the people in charge of that team, Chairperson. I think it was a tremendous success. And the minister asked, and I'm just responding to what the deputy minister said. You said, listen, what can be done? Where can we improve? That was the question. And I think where we can improve is with team sport, Chairperson. When it comes to individual sport, we do very, very well. I think when it comes to team sport, it leaves a lot to be desired, Chairperson. I think there we must really concentrate on how can we improve team sport in South Africa. And I support wholeheartedly, and I sort of concur what the other member said about the lottery. We must stop talking about it now. Something must be done, and then the legal work or whatever work needs to be done now, Chairperson. What is necessary must be done, the sooner the better, Chairperson. We must stop talking about that. There's one thing that JJ mentioned, that he went to O'Keefe and where a sports facility was handed over. And perhaps in that we can also learn a lesson. Because that was not done with MIG funds or any, money was given to the sports trust. Oh, they got their money, and the sports trust really developed that facility, as far as I know, Chairperson. So it sends out a signal. There are people that are able to do things, and whether money shouldn't be channeled through those avenues to get to the sport or to get things done, Chairperson. I travelled a little bit in this constituency period. I visited many municipalities in the Eastern Cape. And there, you know, when you have meetings with people, they talk about their facilities and where they don't have facilities. And then you ask them, listen, what about the MIG funds? Then they don't know about MIG funds. I'm talking about the man in the street. Now you ask the councillor then, listen, answer the question. You must answer what's happening to the then that opposition councillor defends the councillor's position or the councillor's position on using that money for something else, Chairperson. In other words, you don't only have a problem with, in fact you have a problem with local government and not only ANC councillors, because it seems to me as if even DA councillors also defended the fact that, you know, we have bigger needs, that money is used for something else, and we must really educate our local people on really how, what to do, and why that money is hid, Chairperson. Lastly, Chairperson, because the Deputy Minister is leaving, I want to know from him. I've looked and I've just perused sort of the Auditor General's report. And what is his feeling? What does... Are you, the question is a direct question, Deputy Minister, are you happy with the Auditor General's report in as far as the department is concerned, as well as Boxing South Africa is concerned? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister, for your presentation. I just want to focus on the issue of rural areas, because one appreciates what has been mentioned in the Minister's presentation, that the Department is trying to do something, but there is an urgent need, Honourable Chair, to close the gap. There is an urgent need to try and work towards closing the gap in terms of facilities, equipment, and training, the gap between, you know, urban areas and rural areas. That is a continuing factor, and it worries me a lot. And one wonders whether the department cannot, while still trying to solve the issue of the MIG fund, actually look at some other measures which could also benefit people in rural areas in the short term. For instance, I just want to, you know, throw in an idea that maybe the Department of Sports, in partnership with the Department of Education, could even consider establishing relationships whereby, you know, schools in rural areas could be able to use facilities in those schools that have got good facilities in certain days, because one cannot continue waiting for something that we do not know when it's going to happen. That would be my first input, Chairperson. And then the Minister also referred to the National Lottery Trust Fund. I'm just wondering whether the Department has considered making available means of assisting NGOs, because one receives, unfortunately, I sit in the Trade and Industry Portfolio Committee, and when the National Lottery Trust Fund reports, They normally say money is available, but the problem is either there are too few applications or those who actually apply do not meet the criteria. So what is the department doing in that respect to try and address that problem? Thank you.
Suga, I'm taking you the last because the Deputy Minister is getting to UNESCO for our own sports conference there. So I want to him to respond to members. So after you, please, I will not take another hand so that I must give him the opportunity to respond. I want him to respond to all what you said. And then from there, other things are going to be referred to the DG, and then the DG is going to interact with us on those. Comrade Suga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't have much to say, except to say I do appreciate the input by the Deputy Minister on behalf of the Minister for this broad overview. It gives us some insights. But I think the issues that I wanted to raise is on the issue of transformation. I think, Chairperson, surely it should be a concern for the ministry and the department to move at a snail's pace to transform our sport. And I think that also leads me to the issue of the white paper. It has been coming for quite some time, and it seems to me there's no end on it to make it a reality. The white paper, so that it becomes a blueprint of government, becomes an overarching document, a Bible for everybody. Even now, when I was looking into the departmental response on the question of the white paper, you can see that we are still very far in concluding that. And that poses a challenge to our government and the department, as if the agenda of transformation is not being set by us, but the outside forces are going to set the agenda for the ANC. One example, APSA. Just one example, APSA. And everybody is jumping. The question, how high? So I'm saying, on the issue of speed, on the question of transformation in relation to your documents, we are moving at a snail's pace. Very worrying. Remember, it did not start last year, neither last of last year. I'm sure it's the fourth year coming to this thing of the white paper. Not every year. So I'm saying, Chapter 3, it should be a worrying factor. Coupled with that, I just want to check, because I want to look at the output, or the outcome of the your indaba that you held. How far are you with your implementation from those resolutions? Recently, you had also the women's indaba, let alone starting from Durban and all over. Can you measure or benchmark those resolutions to say, we're proud to have implemented those in the above by government, by the department? I don't get that sense. Hence, people are saying the transformation is not there. The Pell Ultimate issue, Chairperson, is the question of you see, the department entered into a memorandum of understanding with your sister department, education. But I think that's, that memorandum of understanding is a statement. Surely we need to move towards a law so that it is being enforced practically in schools if you want sports to be played seriously. Otherwise, we'll always lament for better services in our schools. That also can lead us to rope in the local government played its role in the maintenance of the city. So I'm raising two issues here in one sentence because of time. But also, chapter in, it brings me in the question of public works as part of that should assist the department in terms of the facilities. I'm not sure whether you have serious interaction with your sister's department, so that you can benchmark at the end of the year, when we do this annual report, we say
these are the agreements that we have entered to, these are the benchmarks, this is how far we've moved. And in all this, we have not yet spoken about funds. Remember, the Department of Education is having sports money, of which sport cannot utilize in schools. It's basically level education. What are we saying? So I'm saying, Chairperson, the period that time is not enough here because you are papering over these issues. And the fundamental issue is that of love for ministry to be present when we do this oversight and maybe also give some focal direction in some of these areas. You know, it's a I don't know if it's a coincidence, but they're having this, they have to move. But it's a serious concern also for them to me, so that we delve in this matter. Now, one response, then what then thereafter? Okay? That's my serious challenge. My last one, which is fundamental, Chair, the wall of fame for sports people, for sports people in this country. I'm not sure whether I was still there or not. All the sports heroes and heroines, is there a move to accelerate that so that people can feel that in one time in a particular area, Tanzania, there was a judge who made us proud? Where is this thing? If you go to another province and so on, I mean, it's the national identity in sports as South Africans and the patient. What seems to be quiet around our sports heroes and heroes. I know there was an initiative that we spoke about sometime last year, initiated by this NASPORT or these former people were involved, right, with Koki. I don't know where it is, but in terms of setting the agenda for us as a government, where are we? So there are many issues that we want to raise, but of time. And it's of no use raising some of these matters because I don't know. So the wall of fame for sports people, even with women, because there's netball that is played every time you see their competition. Where are those sports women? Yeah. Rather than Babanyana, Banyana, and so on.
Thank
so, Chairperson, this matter I place that we need to develop.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Deputy Minister, the issue of the Hall of Fame, we'll discuss it, don't respond on it, because I'll tell you. President Mbeki, I'll give you that history, spoke about the Hall of Fame when he was visiting another country and said there should be a Hall of Fame and then some people who have the means must do the question of the Hall of Fame. So it was a process where, with the, no, the guy who's dealing at the Freedom Park, there was an interaction between the minister and ourselves and then it was referred to Wallace Rode. We got letters of sanction that from Wallace Rode. That Hall of Fame of a person was agreed upon, but we'll discuss it. And the ministry said the Hall of Fame must not be in one place. How about the Hall of Fame should be in different provinces for people to, a replica, for people to be able to interact and all that. So that one we'll discuss and check whether it has taken that character, but the question of the Hall of Fame was the idea of President Mbeki after visiting America and Sydney. Then he spoke and said, government will not be in a position to do the Hall of Fame, and therefore business that has a potential of investment can do the issue of the Hall of Fame, and then we'll discuss about it, that Hall of Fame. But the government on the Hall of Fame view and contribution to the Hall of Fame is what you are talking about. So that that history of those heroes must not be forgotten. Deputy Minister, your time is up to you. What do you do with your time? All questions have been raised by members, and then they respond, and what do you do? Because 12:50 is a little bit of a short time, but do justice to whatever you can do. But we will come back to our quarterly reports where we're dealing with this thing. And then check the diary of the ministry. The diary of the ministry is very dry on interaction with us a little bit. So we must try to have a better interaction constantly. Yes.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you for understanding that I'm a little bit under pressure. Honourable Chair, the DG has noted, like me, all the questions. We will come back in writing to the Honourable Committee to say we propose these two dates so that we side by synchronize. It's long outstanding and long overdue, and it's important that we have that interaction. However, I asked the DG just to listen to what you're responding to and to pick up on that we've not. They have the answers, Honorable Chair. Let us speak to the MIG and transformation quickly. MIG and the Lotto Fund. Honorable Chair, no, I've said as yet we've not had a success the way we would like to have it. It does not mean that we've not intervened and had various discussions going forward. We are moving forward with that, but we would like not only to see a ring-fenced MIG, we would like the money to be either transferred to us or to be allocated in collaboration with our National Sports Facilities Plan. Secondly, on the lotto, we've made strides. There is now, after various discussions, interventions, Comrade Honorable Frolic, at the executive level, we've made strides to the effect where there is no process to look at the amendment of the Act legislatively to see where we go with that process. Chair, on transformation, ask the DG to fill in on the factual side, not the political side, but on transformation, there is no question. We are at Eden. We've been saying it all the time, the starting line must be the same, whilst recognizing there must be a catch-up. Now, this is why we have to do things perhaps differently from time to time. Now, Chair, just one observation, because it's been alluded to. AFSA's response to this thing. Yes, we had interactions, in fact, in KwaZulu-Natal, you're aware of that, Honorable Chair. We had with interactions with SA Rugby and with APSA, we had thought it wise not to now enter the fray and support and give fuel to other people that would like to, the young man that started from the other side to fuel into that, but we have a constructive engagement because that feeds into what we've been saying all the time. And it's encouraging to see that it's taken seriously by sponsors to say that we have to look at this. That is a great help to us, and we really thank them. And I just want to share with the Portfolio Committee, it is not as if we were sitting in a corner not doing anything. We were proactively engaging them. There is no doubt that transformation will forever and a day chair be a point in case until such time as we have the facilities, the money to give all our children equal access. In the meantime, the catch-up programs and proactive thinking must dictate so that we achieve the imperatives that we're all striving to. Comrade Chair, in terms of gender, the DG will answer on that. Thanks for confirming that the annual report was on time. I remember for the DA, cost of stadiums. We have DG can fill in there. We've asked the development bank some time ago. It should be near completion now to give us a study and a report on the cost implications of that, because we would like to see continuously not only accessibility to our sporting teams, but cheaper tickets for our people to go as spectators. There, to use rugby's example, All Black Springboks have played against one another at Soccer City FNB Stadium now, and we've seen cheaper tickets made access available to our people. That is a drive that we would like to see, because that's part of the legacy. Honorable Lee is correct. OKIP is one of the three facilities done by the Sports Trust this year from their resources. On the gender, the honourable members that raised that issue, the answers will be given by the DG, but we are absolutely pro that. There is no doubt about that. But it's a refreshing idea to speak to Estee Lauder and all those people. I volunteer to go there because they're beautiful women. They smell you lovely. Then I volunteer to lead that delegation. He's a honourable chairperson, and I don't want competition of males there. I'll be surrounded by the females when we go there, please. All I would say, there's a transformation. The the process that we've also started, and the DG and the department can fill the honorable committee in, is that we've asked the Confederation SASCOP to get a charter going with the federations, but see, it goes further than the athletes. Can't only speak to athletes. It must speak to the officials. It must speak to coaches. It must speak to technical staff. So it's a wider thing that we have to talk about when we talk about transformation. But we are absolutely at Eden. We're on board. It's a non-negotiable. It's not up for negotiation as far as that's concerned. Honourable members, the white paper, the first draft is published. It's been consulted. Dr. van der Spree, who's the driver in the driving seat, can reach the committee as far as that's concerned. Honourable Chairperson, I was asked about Honourable Lee made reference to the what are the General's comments on sport regulation, South Africa's annual report. Yes, obviously we take note of what Auditor the General is saying. We are extremely proud. That when reported by the Auditor General also the Cabinet, it was reported in the media that one of three departments that made massive progress and was complimented was the Department of Sport and Recreation. But it does not mean that we say we're in the driving seat now, we're so happy. We're not taking note of the matters that he's asked us to clarify to him, and that we are not putting the necessary measures in place. As far as boxing South Africa is concerned, we had the Indaba that culminated in resolutions. Here is Dr. Nakani and his board. We filled all the vacancies on boxing. There's Professor Paul Singh. They will tell you that we've engaged National Treasury, Honorable Chair, to ensure that we have corporate governance. We've appointed a service provider for a period of 6 months, DG, if I recall it correctly, to ensure that we conform and that we assist boxing to appoint a CEO and all that goes with that. There's regular interaction and the implementation of the resolutions of that. So Honorable Lee, now we're taking very serious note of what's being said. Honorable Chairperson, perhaps just the second last thing. In terms of schools and facilities, we have a backlog due to the history of this country. We have agreed with education norms must be there. Like a school must have a toilet for boys and a toilet for girls. Not one toilet. It must have a library. It must have a blackboard. It must have a sporting facility. We are told that physical education is now a standalone from next year onwards, 2 hours minimum. So slowly but surely, we've made progress there as well. In terms of other departments, assisted departments, Honorable Suka, we've agreement with housing. There can never be a sustainable housing development without sport and recreation facilities in that area. If you don't do that, you create island of poverty. If you don't address that actively, you make sure that the children will be naughty in the streets. So that's an agreement that we've reached to the unfortunate parties that it wasn't done all the time right from the beginning. We must now find proactive ways, Honorable colleague, to address these issues. And we got some. We engage these things, and we need the support of this committee in addressing exactly that. Honorable Chairperson, I beg with the honorable members of the committee to understand that the rush is not because I don't respect the committee, but it's really because of international obligation to the benefit of the country. But Honorable Chairperson, the Director General and the team are here. If you will afford and understand that they will answer factually and steer away from the political thing, that is our job. They're not the politicians. Some of them may be activists, but I don't want them to do that. But just give factually the position and line. So I leave you in the good hands of the DG and the capable team from the department, Honorable Chairperson. And once again, thank you to the Honorable Committee, Honorable Frolic, for affording us this opportunity. But I want to observe two things, Chair, before I leave. The one may be controversial and room for a lot of debate. The other one is the truth. We need more of a session like we've been alluding to all the time for a day. Let's talk and let's discuss, because wonderful things are happening, and we find that we don't always have the time to communicate clearly all the good things. And we will draw strength from the advice from this committee and the observations in going forward, because we all love sport. That's why we're here. Lastly, Chair, I was en route from Delhi when a certain rugby team was sabotaged with bees they imported to a rugby field, then delayed the game for 42 minutes, breaking the concentration of the visiting team. But may I just observe, may the best team win without interference Saturday, may sport win, and may rugby triumph. Thank you.
Chairperson, sorry, can I just interject for a second? The bees were brought by the bulls to try and stop the sharks from winning, but it backfired. Thank you.
But that is distortion. Please. Distortion. The minister has never spoken about the bulls and the sharks. He has just said that let us have a fair play. So please, don't distort the issue. So, Deputy Minister, you are protected, and then you can go. But Deputy Minister, it's really important that we must have a day of discussion. Exactly what you are going to do in UNESCO is what we have to share with you. So when you have us having conflicting views from yourself, is because you don't give up. You see what do I say? If Suga says anything anywhere in the public, it's because Suga does not have information. Now he's saying, give me the information. So for as long as you have not given me the information, I will say all these wrong things.
Yes.
And therefore, it is important that we must give each other information. Thank you, Deputy
Minister.
Thank you,
Honourable Members.
Thank you.
Honourable
Members, the issue that Comrade Tandy raised on the transformation, we have not discussed the issue of the transformation adequately. We cannot equate transformation purely on basis of facilities. Can't be. What Memali Benya is raising is a right thing. What about Bishop's Court? What about Grey College? What about St. Andrews, who have an abundance of the facilities, and just opposite to them, there is a school there who has nothing? Why can't they share? And when they do that, we're beginning to open up and make other children to come in, and the issue of transformation is likely. Now, I do not agree with anybody who puts facility as a bridge for transformation. I don't agree with that particular thing. Equally, I don't agree with the person who says merit is when Donald Lee runs with a shoe, and then Cora must run without shoes, and then on the same distance on a tire road, then you said it's merit. It's not merit, because there's nothing equal in that. It should be both of them with the running shoes, both of them equipped on the training facilities, both of them doing the same race, journey. Then you'll see who's got the strength and all that. Then that is equal opportunities. That is a question of merit. But all these periphery that people are talking about merit, I have engaged in the discussion on issues of merit, and nobody has win. And saying a child who stays in Marabastad, in Kruestad, and the other one stays in Seydrift, and then where there's tennis court, there's pool, there's everything, and this one doesn't even know water, can't even cross on the river there. Then you talk about merit. There's no merit that you can put on such children. So those things, we must talk about them when we meet with the Deputy Minister. But it is true. There's a conspicuous silence on transformation by the department, DG. Conspicuous silence. And it's deafening. That silence is deafening. So we want to hear a lot about what is going on those issues. The issue of MIG for local authorities, Donald Lee, it's a problem. And then we must be able to deal with that problem and resolve it once and for all. And then so that we must not talk about MIG for 5 years. and then it is not resolved, is it? We must speak about this, and in the next engagement, we must finalize the issue of the meek and know that we don't have meek, and then that's it. It's either we have it or we don't have it. But it can't be something like lukewarm and forever and ever and ever. Amen. It can't be. Can't be. Can you raise the issue of Sasco? The DG was there. I'm happy that the DG was there. The High Commissioner said to Bhutan, that team is too wide. Please don't embarrass us. When you go to places like India and others, just try to be correct and train people and make that team to be a team that comes from South Africa. That team's coming from Europe, doesn't come from South Africa, somewhere in Holland or in England. And it was true. Check on the 140-something athletes who were there. Why people are not doing deliberate? We don't say take other children who are on the street and put them, and therefore you say that is transformation. Why are we not doing a concerted effort training those who are not having facilities so that tomorrow they must be part of? And that is what we are talking about. And the High Commissioner said that, please, when you go to London in the Olympics, let's have a team that do anybody, some more team there. There is, you saw that is a South African team. When the Samoa team, both cricket and rugby, took the field, you think the South African, they are big as Lois and as dark as Lois. AA too, you think that it comes from her queen in London, yet it's coming from South Africa. In Zimbabwe, it had white team player, but that team was not dominant as Zimbabwe. And the white players who were playing in Zimbabwe, they were powerful, but they were not dominant. Umthako Mnyama ongeza said were dominant there. That is what you're talking about. DG, we are going to take the report first of Boxing South Africa. But I just want to talk to Boxing South Africa. Boxing South Africa, you see, this board, hey, Boxing South Africa, Dr. Ngata, I think I must talk to you about that. I must talk to you about this. Maybe you'll understand what is the annual report and what is the turnaround strategy. We are not going to speak about how are you intending to 10 things in this department. I just want to talk to all of you as board members. But please, you know, you are our comrades, but don't take us for the ride. Don't take these members for the ride. Please, don't take us for the ride. When we ask you to come for annual report, we don't ask you for this thing. The turnaround. And members must take that turnaround strategy and put it aside. This is not what we want. They will come and explain to us later on this piece of a turnaround strategy. And please, Dr. Hassan, I'm pleading. You know, when you talk to an elderly person, open thing out to sustain. You look at him and say, but that's the chair of boxing. Take this committee very serious and think that we are like the boxing board. We are not like boxing board. We are not like the boxing board. I think I would think better than boxing board and these members. Where you give us the turnaround strategy. A turnaround strategy must be the after effects of our interactions on your annual report. Then you give us the turnaround strategy. But now we want the annual report, and you give us that piece. For the whole night we must, and the day, we must deal with this piece. When I checked at this, I said, but how did Dr. Ngatani give us the turnaround strategy? No, there's a document, turnaround strategy, here it is. It has been given to us, and then we're in pain to read this. And members are asking, sir, leave that thing, because we have not asked voting about a turnaround strategy. I think the CEO is taking us for the ride. No, I'm not giving you time to speak. I will give you a chance to speak. This is Parliament Portfolio Committee there. It's not boxing. No, I'm saying it's not boxing. Please, can you keep quiet? Or maybe you'll learn about the process of Parliament. We'll give you time to speak, but you don't interject. It's not in the shape in here. So, you see, members read this, many of them, are surprised. But the correct document is given to us also, the second document. which is the correct one. Now, I want Dr. Ngatan to explain to us, why are you giving us a turnaround strategy and you don't give us this report around the annual report? Why do you do that? Yes, respond.
My response is that I asked the office to give you the presentation that was going to be given. And the turnaround strategy was a discussion document that was in the book. I don't know how it came before.
Just ask the CEO. The CEO, why do you give us a turnaround strategy when you're supposed to give us the annual report?
Thank you. The doctor, you must be on record so that if you said any other thing, it should be something that will keep you responsible for what you said.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. This report came about in our last meeting, and while we also had the annual report, it also was brought about that it had to be presented to also to the portfolio committee.
But it's not the letter requirement that I wrote to Dr. Ngatan. It actually must give me a turnaround, or I was very clear in one line, it's an annual report.
No, it did not, and what was happening is that right through the week, there was correspondence amongst board members themselves, agreeing and disagreeing about submitting this report to Parliament. And then finally, on Friday, when I went to Dr. Madane was going to be having a meeting with one of the board members. And then it was then that it was decided that that report had got to be revised and presented to Parliament. But at that point, nobody said to me that I must send that report to Parliament. So on Friday, I sent this report to Parliament. That is our annual report. But yesterday, I got a call from one of the board members asking me why I had not sent that other report. I explained that since 2005 that I've been in boxing in South Africa, I've always known that only one report. And why I didn't send that report was because I know that the annual report is this one. It is one that I sent. And again, when Dr. Ngatan told me that he had agreed that this report would be in Parliament, and at the same time, he was going to present it as a turnaround strategy. But he did not say, I must send it. So the board member told me to send it within the next 30 minutes. So why did now?
My last question.
I
sent
both at the same time.
My last question to you. Do you get instruction from board members, or do you get instruction from the chair? If the chair wants to say anything for the board, a person who always approach you on behalf of the board becomes the chair, or Harper is just a Mickey Mouse thing, anybody does whatever he wants to do. Is the chair who gave you that instruction?
That is the challenge that I'm having as the acting CEO in the last few months.
I can see that.
Where I'm having a lot of instructions from people, something that has never been happening before. I had instructions from the board member. But it's like now, I have instructions to do this, to fly people there, to do all sorts of things. And the last person who actually has talked to me is the chairperson. And I call the chairperson and I say, chairperson, what is the situation? And as long as the chairperson does not say to me, let me do it, I don't. In fact, there is a document as we are speaking now.
Let me just give you tips for the board. This is not going to look like SABC board. Let me assure you, it's not going to look like SABC board. A board takes a decision in a board meeting, and the chief executive officer execute a collective decision agreement by the board. If there's any other thing, the person who speak with the CEO on behalf of the board will be the chair of the board. Because all of you are non-executive members. For the first time that you cross about this thing, but I just want to plead with you. What happens to SABC will never happen here. And then you must read the act properly and go and check the responsibility of the board. And if it comes to the crunch, there is the Auditor General, people are sitting at the back there. All of you members of the board will take you to jail. All of you. If it comes to the crunch. Because you are a decision maker. All your decisions are binding, and therefore the board is also can be liable for liquidation if any other thing goes wrong. So please understand what is the role of the board, and maybe others don't understand. And then, and Louise, please tell members of the board that any other thing should come through the chair of the board. You sit with them in the meeting, you do whatever they want to do. The instruction of the board, it should be the instruction that you carry out. But the person who ultimately have to communicate that to you is the chair of the board. Seven?
Thank you, Honorable.
Please. You are treading on a very explosive area, you get hurt. I just want to tell you that. Hey, the day contact.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I appreciate your words. As you rightfully know, that we are from a very difficult time, and I think as part of that's why I'll apologize for this misdemeanor. Only suffice to say, in the process thereafter, the role that we have to play is basically to stabilize and to manage different aspects of people reconstituting a board that at one time had been treated in a negative way. But if you give me opportunity, sir, the board is coming together as a team, and I'm very sorry that you have to start the process in this manner.
Thank you. It's your time, sir. Now that I'm giving you permission to speak. Now you want to speak?
I just want to take responsibility for that document as a board member. I had a discussion with Dr. Tani. I thought it was a useful document to deal with potential questions coming out of this portfolio committee. And I don't want you to blame the entire board. I want you to blame me. I take full responsibility.
Thank you, Chair. The reason why I was stopping is that as a chairperson, I'll take responsibility. So be designated, we will fix up whatever the venue, and I'll take responsibility and say, I apologize.
No, I was going to say, sir, you have apologized, accepted, but the person who we have to apologize on your behalf is Dr. Ngatan, because it's one of his board members who has done that, and therefore he will talk to you and say, please don't do it again and all that. But here in Parliament, he carries full responsibility. He leads this delegation. Anything that goes wrong, it's him who's responsible for that. I would give over to Dr. Ngatani to introduce people, because there are other people that you don't know that are here, and then introduce the delegation and give to the person who's going to present the annual report to the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Be that we started on that faltering note, I would like to say, as Chairman of the Board of Boxing South Africa, I would like to take this opportunity first to give thanks to the guidance that over the years we've received from this portfolio committee and you, the chairperson. In the last times that we've been here as a board, we have been chastised, and rightfully so. And I'm happy to say, as I'm speaking to you, the instructions that you gave us to say we must fix certain things, I do hope we are in the process of fixing those problems that have arisen out of Boxing South Africa. When the last we were here, there were only four of us. It was myself, Mr. Sodo, Mr. Akijona, and Mr. Basude, who unfortunately had to have an apology. He's running an exam with the University of the Western Cape. So he could not make it for today. He asked me to give his apology. And in August, end of July, August, the Minister of Sport, as Reverend Stofile Makengezi, appointed other three people to rejoin this board until the term of office, which is next year, May, to see through some of the activities that forms part of our mandate. I'm happy to introduce to you, Chairperson, the full complement of the Board of Books in South Africa and some of the people that will be here with me. On my left, I have Mr. Andile Sidinile, who is also an additional member to the board. On my right, as I've already said, is Mr. Sodo, Sekiwo Sodo, who's been with me previously. Next to Mr. Mja is Mr. Archie Jonas. And next to Mr. Archie Jonas on the right is Mr. Solisilibe. And next to Mr. Solisilibe is Mr. Mark. Mark Cypress. And the three of them, Mr. Andile Sidinile, Mr. Solisilibe, and Mr. Mark Cypress, have added to the complement of the board. And I must have to say, there's quite a lot of enthusiasm in the board at this point in time to rectify and to put the organization of Boxing South Africa in the right route. Next to with us, forming part of the office, is the acting CEO, Mr. Loiso Mja, from the office. And next to Mr. Loiso Mja is Mr. Kubai, who is also in the finance department. And this forms the complement of what I'm bringing to this organization, this esteemed organization of portfolio committee, to present and answer to the annual report of 2009-2010. That I believe the copies have already been sent to the committee, and I do hope that most of it will meet with your expectations. And I'll now hand over to Mr. Loiso Mja and Mr. Kubai to run over the presentation, and I will be with my board will be able to answer the question that arose. Thank you, and thanks again.
Thank you, Dr. Nata. You have done exactly what an accounting authority should do. A board is an accounting authority. CEO is an accounting person, accounting officer. Then the board is an accounting authority that the accounting or the CEO accounts to the accounting authority. You are having an authority to say whatever you want to say there. And that is one of the fiduciary duties of the board. So thank you very much. Luis, take us through to your annual report and check whether have you used the money adequately and then fruitfully. Do you deserve to say to the department in the presence of the DG that you deserve to get an increase on that money or not? One of the responsibility that you carry is a certain mandate that you have. Have you execute the mandate of boxing in a manner in which it is? If not, there are reasons, you give reasons why, but talk to your annual report so that we check them.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. It is my pleasure to, on behalf of Boxing South Africa and the Department of Sports and Recreation, to present this annual report, my first annual report as the accounting officer of Boxing South Africa since I joined in 2005. I've been acting CEO in that on Monday, that is by the 1st of November. I will be getting to my 19th month as the acting CEO of Boxing South Africa. Yes. It gives me some comfort, really, in that, though it seems too long and some questions have been asked in terms of my rights and all of that, But it gives me comfort in that when I present this annual report, it is an annual report that I can actually say I own with the members of Boxing South Africa, because I didn't take somewhere, get the ball or the baton somewhere along the line. I studied it, I finished it. So it is a report that I can claim credibility on all its failures, and I can also account for its credibility for its successes, and I can also account for its failures 100%. And I can also, with pride, say that Boxing South Africa is well known in the history of boxing since it was audited. I think that was about 10 years ago. The biggest challenge has always been the financial management of Boxing South Africa. And the biggest challenge is for boxing to always having had a qualified sport. And we can say with pride now, as we report today, that we have, after a long time, been successful in presenting an unqualified report. Yes, we say it is not clear. It is not yet a clean report, because there are still what you call emphasis of matter. Emphasis of matter being where the auditor is saying, yes, we are giving you an unqualified report because you qualified according to the compliances in terms of the PFMA, in terms of National Treasury, in terms of your Boxing Act, and also in terms of the Sports and Recreation Act as amended. But in terms, again, of your effective controls going forward, this is what you still have to look into. So we are working on those matters now to make sure that the momentum that we have taken since we took over from boxing, when it was really in very, very, very bad situation, it's getting there. I also want to thank this portfolio committee, because one of the things we did was to learn from what we're always being asked. Why do you do this? Why don't you do this? Why do you do it this way? Why don't you do it this way? And looking back into the history of boxing, this is one of the things that we're able to pick up so that we could be able to turn things around. And at the same time, when it came to the Auditor General's office, we also want to say thank you to the Auditor General's office, because truth of the matter is that they don't look for reasons to give you an unqualified report. They actually show the way, lead you in terms of how you can get things right, so that when they actually start the audit, they don't say, they are able to say, but we told you. We said do this and you didn't do it. And we learned from those meetings. At the same time, I also want to say thank you to the Department of Sports, because one of the things that we found out was that all the years there has been no synergy between the Department of Sports and Boxing South Africa. Boxing South Africa, though it is legislated by an act of parliament, and it's also the only sports code in the country that reports directly under a boxing act, the act of parliament doesn't have a constitution. The truth of the matter is that there were sports codes, independent sports codes, that were closer to the department than actually boxing was. As a result, boxing didn't know what it had to do, and Department of Sports did not know that what boxing was doing. So in order for us to get things right, we got very close and we strengthened our relationship with the Department of Sports. As a result, as I speak now, we had 11 meetings where we had workshops, where our staffs were taken in terms of even preparing the threat, at the same time, even in terms of performance and even in terms of compliance, so that we could get our management right. And that is why I'm saying today we were able to come with a report that, even if it's not clean, but it is an unqualified report. How also we did it was, one, we looked at our costs, because we inherited a Boxing South Africa that whose going concern status was questioned all the time, simply because it had always been running on a minus. So in order to do that, we had to look into how we were using the little money that boxing was getting, that is, getting from the promoters, sanctioning fees, getting also from the promoters, taking sponsorships and all of that, and also looking at what we can do with little money that we were getting from time to time around. So we had to cut on a lot of stuff, so much that a lot of things that were done in a lot of times by people from outside, the staff itself did it. But if you look at the staff itself is still under the
we are still understaffed. If you look at our boxing act, our organogram says 14 people. But what we did is that the people who resigned, six people who resigned during the time of the CEO and the CEO himself, because of the cost, we decided that we were not going to actually replace those people. We were going to allocate the jobs according to the nine people that we had in the office. And we did everything by ourselves, right down to printing the material that you have right in front of you today. And if you look at the person next to me now, which is Talifane. Talifane is doing two jobs. He is in both finance, he is also in admin because of the situation we found our way in. Yes, it is tough. Yes, it is tough for people. That is also the reason I want to tell the office, the board of working council, because we had as administration to spread this idea to the board that this is the way we thought that Boston should be run at this point, because this is the situation. They bought it, and I want to say thank you for their passion, thank you for their commitment, thank you for giving us the assistance that they gave us, and again the confidence they showed in us. As a result of that, we were able to, after so many years, report a surplus of 2.1 million that Boxing had not done since the last sponsorship left Boxing in 2005. We were also again able to, because of the relationship that we had with the department, again our award that we are also conducting every year as Boxing South Africa, that used to cost over 1.6 million and above, we were able to deliver our awards for only 240,000, and we made them very successful because of the relationship that we had with them. So in terms of that, we are very happy, but we still have challenges. One of the challenges, the challenge that was also picked up by this committee, portfolio committee, that Boxing South Africa does not have an internal audit unit. We still do not have it, but we were advised by this committee, we were even given the name of Mazal, that does audit committee for the Jack Free Sport. We were able to, because of that, able to comply with the Auditor General, the compliances that we should have. But at this point, we still do not have. We get a grant from the department, because one of the funds that we get to get Boxing going is the grant from the department that is voted by Parliament. The truth of the matter is that that grant has got to look at the staff salary. It also has got to look at all the administrative purposes that we've got to pay for, and we have to report. Unfortunately, while we have a grant of that amount, that is around 1.97 million, we have money, and some of the money we have to answer to in this portfolio committee. We have political money that have to do with gender equity, that have to do with minorities, because there came the question in 2004, where have all the white boxers gone? Where are the Indian boxers? We have administrative money. The administrative money is the one that we were able to turn around with the help of the people that I mentioned. And we also have got social money. The social money is going to what happens when a boxer, an old boxer dies, a legend who dies with nothing. We've got to answer questions from people all the time. What is Boxing South Africa doing to make sure that this thing does not happen? In fact, we are even forced to get to arrange the burial of those boxers. Now, when it comes now to this amount, and when it also comes to the political mandate, we have a political mandate in terms of gender equity. We are also proud to say we have delivered on female boxing. Yet, female boxing as a political mandate is supposed to be funded specially as a mandate, because it is in the Boxing Act that we've got to do something about female boxing. When boxing was enacted in Parliament in 1954 and later in 2001, the Boxing Act makes a list of money, and one of those money is gender equity. And one would like to believe that if the government says this is the money, do this, there's got to be a fund specially for that. We don't have a fund for female boxing. And I believe that the people who agreed to that act at the time maybe believed that the government was going to fund. And if they believed that and they signed and they agreed to that act, then the government reneged on that deal, because up to today, we have been able to produce female boxing in a way that is near magical, because as we speak now, we have two world champions, champions of the whole wide world, that are female boxers. We have two South African champions. We have a total of 21 female boxers. And if you look in the amateurs, our mass participation program are going like nobody's business. But where do we actually get the money from that? We had a project that was called the Baby Champs. And that project actually helped us to deliver, because it was looking into all the facets of our money, like mass participation, transformation, gender equity, taking sports to both rural and urban areas. As a result, because of that, we even produced these minority groups that became champions that were not there before. But it has it also its own challenges. And one of the biggest challenges now came to a situation where there were some suspicions that there were some money that were missing. And the report that was tabled, the Matheza report that was tabled in during the convention, said that the Baby Champs project must be audited. We were audited by three companies, by the department itself, by WSO audit, and also by Deloitte and Touch. And we got a clear audit from all of them. In fact, what we got from there is that they said, what a project. This is a project that is looking at everything. They saw the best project ever in any South African sport. And what they did was to make recommendations in terms of what do we do to make it a better project. One would have thought at that stage that once that report was received, then maybe the minister would say, this is a good project, and it's got a clean audit report. Let's put money in this project. No, that did not happen, and that is still not happening, and the truth of the matter is that we are just having tournaments now in boxing, but when it comes to development, we do not have a development project. And instead of getting better, we are just going to get worse. Our recommendation in this situation, in terms of our finances, are that SRSA, internal audit, should render the internal audit service to boxing South Africa. They have helped us before to find our people. They have helped us in terms of even empowering our staff to prepare the necessary documents and all of that, but we still believe that in terms of the audit, in general audit, we believe that the Department of Sport should be involved in Boxing South Africa. The synergy between the Department of Boxing South Africa has been strengthened, but it needs to be maintained. It's got its challenges. We started it, we want it maintained, we want it in fact to go further and further, but it still has got its challenges. We have to strengthen it. Boxing finance policies and procedures need to undergo a rigorous process or review. Why we are saying that is because our policies are derived from the Act. The Act itself that is totally outdated, which means we've got to start from the Act and also to get from the policies themselves. Yes, we have a draft review of our policies from Mazar. That was recommended to us by the portfolio committee, and we believe that once we are able to get to grips with that and then adopt it, things will be much, much better. South Africa's financial management has improved. However, to ensure that grey areas are addressed, Booking South Africa echoed the recommendation of the Minister, Auditor General of South Africa and the National Treasurer, that the financial management consulting firm be appointed with a view of skills transfer to the current crop of finance personnel. That is still in the process. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I wrote to the board reminding them about this kind of situation, because this kind of situation puts us in a position where, I remember when we were here the last time, I promised everybody here that we are going to give you a clear audit report. And no. And unqualified audit report. Yes, we did. But looking at this situation now, and especially when it comes to what the Auditor General and National Treasury and Financial Management have recommended to us, and it has not yet been done, I am not as confident as I was sitting here last, because this is not only to actually help Boxing South Africa in terms of effective control of financial management, it is also a compliance issue. Now let me get to operational performance overview. The operational performance overview has to do a lot really with our boxes. The boxers, what they do in the ring, it's got a lot to do with our projects in terms of what we do to make sure that we develop the skills or the awareness of our licenses. South Africa has become more competitive around the world. Boxing SA enjoys recognition and respect by major international professional bodies. As we speak, we have 25 world and international champions. We are working and have a close relationship with 6 world organizations, the world sanctioning bodies: the WBA, the WBC, the WBO, the IBF, the IBO, the WBF. And we believe that at this stage, this is as far as we can go. Because the truth of the matter is that there are so many world organizations, so many world sanctioning bodies, because it is a business. They are privately owned by business people. And a lot of them are knocking the door down, trying to work with South African boxing, because our boxing has become so good. But in our last meeting, the question was asked, and we believe that is the right question, that how far can we go? Can we work with all these organizations? Because as we speak, there are 3 organizations that are applying to boxing South Africa, but we believe at this stage, the proliferation of them is so much that we can only work with 6. Yes, the more organizations working with the boxing South Africa is an advantage, because it creates more opportunities for our boxers to fight for world titles. Because a world championship, especially in terms of monetary refunds and all of that, is better than a national championship. But once they become so much, then the value is compromised one way or another. So we are still happy to be working with 6 world organizations. But the truth now is that amongst them, it comes back to gender equity. We have 2 world champions. We have Noni Tenge, we have Kunaki Mnigeni, that are world champions. And also amongst that, we have been able to have 2 of our female ring officials working as referees in world titles, something that has never happened in South African boxing before. Again, that was also strengthened by the relationship that we've had with the sports department, and also the relationship that we have with the provincial government. The Chairperson of Boxing South Africa was elected as a member of the Olympic Style Boxing Committee. The acting CEO of Boxing South Africa was appointed Chief Operating Officer of the Working Committee, consisting of the SA, SAFCOP, and SANADA. That is also in there, that we should have a close relationship with those people, SAFCOP, SANADA. But what we did, we also went further and also strengthened relationship with the South African National Defense Force, because that relationship created opportunities for 107 of our boxers, both male and female, to be recruited and registered in the army as soldiers and also as boxers, something that had never happened before. And again, we went to the correctional service, with the correctional services, we started doing tournaments inside the prisons. At the same time, we had some of our old veteran boxing trainers getting into the prisons to train boxers. We had national championships in the prisons, and a lot of these boxers that came out, we gave them special fights in tournaments that we talked to with promoters and agreed. As a result of that, one of them became a South African champion, and next week he's defending that title. This is something that never happened in South African boxing. We were able to resuscitate the National Lottery Fund. In 2006, boxing South Africa was disqualified from the National Lottery Fund because the money was not used. That money is ring-fenced to do education and training for our license. It was not used for that before. And at the same time, an application that went to the National Lottery Fund again was applying for money to do international fights. And as a result of that, boxing was just summarily disqualified. Last year, we started negotiations again. We presented to them, we assured them in terms of what we're going to be doing. We got that money. Again, we used that money to do training and development of our boxers. Some of our boxers were even sent to universities because we've got a lot of challenges in terms of that. Once our boxers start to earn more money, there are tax challenges, and they know nothing about tax, financial management, nothing. So we change boxers, we change ring officials, we even change the staff in terms of getting them to deliver on the mandate of boxing South Africa. The challenges that we had in the last year was that due to the FIFA World Cup, we had less tournaments because the attention of the people was glued on either television or in the field. We couldn't develop the standard job because we couldn't do the baby champs like we had before, because that was a primary development project. And because of that, less boxers fought. And then when it comes to the training of our boxers, especially if you send them to higher level education in terms of the finances they have, we have the problem of their levels of literacy and also communication. Because we found out that now their levels of literacy becomes even a challenge when they have to understand the material that they are sent. So what we are looking at now is to look at a model that will look into their levels of literacy, so that while they are trained in terms of getting better in terms of their communication and literacy, at the same time, what they are being taught in terms of their financial skills and all of that, they are able to understand. That is the challenge that we are looking at. And the lack of sponsorship and television, it is still there. Why we have been able to get fights going is that we fought strong relationships with the provincial government, and the provincial government are actually funding our well-titled fights and female boxing. That is why, under the circumstances, while we did not have money, while everybody is saying we don't have sponsors, we were able to keep boxing afloat. That is why boxing in this country did not collapse, because we were able to go out of our way to make sure that tournaments actually happened. In fact, we were holding the promoters by the hand, helping them, because that is where we are able to get our sanctioning fees to keep boxing going. But it is still a challenge. The public and corporate perception about boxing as a sport, that is one of our challenges. The boxing itself, the way people regard it. What happened is that before 1994, boxing, especially amongst the black population, because the black population commands 95% in terms of participation within boxing. But before 1994, the black people really were looking at rugby if you're in the Eastern Cape and boxing. It was soccer if you were in the old Transvaal and boxing. And then it was rugby again and soccer and boxing if you were in places like KZN. And then you go up to Limpopo, it was boxing and soccer. But after 1994, once the doors were, once doors opened, and now the attention now in terms of participation by the kids, in terms of participation, in terms of worship, and then again in terms of participation, in terms of where parents could take their children, boxing now got a very, very big challenge. Because now there was hockey, there was tennis, there was bungee jumping, there were all sorts of things. And then the Model Cs, again, they did not even have boxing. So boxing now started to have a challenge in terms of its attention. That is where now numbers started to bring in terms of participation itself, number two, again, in terms of attention. And at that time, boxing was supposed to have raised the level of its marketing, because all the years boxing has only depended on the promoters to actually market boxing. And promoters market their tournaments. I have the tournaments in a month's time, and then I start marketing that tournament. That is, we boxing needed now an overview, an over marketing strategy that looked not only at the boxers themselves, but also looked at the business of boxing. So we needed to make sure now we had that to get that level. We are busy as we speak now preparing a marketing strategy to do that, to make sure that we look at all the facilities of boxing on an overview and try and market as much as we can. Chairperson and honorable members, I will go as far as that as at this point, and say again that I appreciate opportunity, and I also appreciate the kind of assistance what every time coming here, because sometimes yes, we have been really, really, really being held roughly, but it was for the good, and we learned because of that. And I can assure you that we actually did learn. We actually went out to do the things that we're supposed to do, and if we are given the opportunities and at the same time given the support that we have been given before, I can assure you that again we will give boxing the attention and the pride that it deserves, and we will make better. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Acting CEO. Can you switch off your mic, please? Thank you very much. Somebody wants to add and all that, so that when members ask clarity, and then we must finish that.
Oh, I think Telefani will just go quickly through the financial aspect, and I think he'll have to be quicker than the political motivated person.
Hey, Baba, give us the money used.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members of the House, I will quickly run through the strategic plan overview, which I believe is very simple, so that when we talk to finances, we can also have an idea, because some of the issues that we'll want to talk about in finance are also outlined in the strategic plan overview. Our target for 2009 and 10 financial year was a revenue that we should generate a revenue of 6 million. We were able to generate 6.2 million. In terms of loss, this is it has been a challenge for Boxing SA, as previous speaker has already alluded to that. We were able to cut down on expenditure, which has led to Boxing SA reporting a profit of 2.1 million. This has also led to a situation where the going concern, which has always been raised by the Auditor General, is partly addressed. Our data collection, we also have a challenge as Boxing SA in terms of collecting the sanctioning fees. This was mainly due to the fact that SABC also experienced financial constraints, which has led to promoters not receiving their monies from the broadcaster. As a result, we could not receive all our fees. In terms of expenditure, we targeted to incur 6 million. We actually incurred 5 million. if you check the figures that we have there, they didn't try to cut down, you will find that we did cut down in terms of the cost incurred as compared to the prior year. As I've already indicated, the going concern is partly addressed. We do, however, believe that in the current financial year, we've got same measures in place, while at the same time, we are having a very concerted effort with the board, which will lead to a possibility that the going concern status or issue will be addressed in full and Boxing will start operating as a current. One of the targets that we had in the 2009-10 financial year is that we wanted to have the internal audit work to be performed, which has been done, the risk assessment and audit preparation plan, all this has been done, which in the previous years were not the case. One of the promises that we made to this committee was that come 2009-10 financial year, we will deliver an unqualified audit report, which we have delivered on that. However, we still say we only view this as a step to the right direction, and with the support that we are getting from the board and other stakeholders, we are confident enough to can say come 2010-11, we are still on the right course. We have been operating without a full or a permanent CEO for 19 months, even in the previous year or in the year under review, this has been the case, this position has remained vacant. Our tournaments complied with all the boxing requirements, only that we did have some challenges when it comes to gambling fees collection. Our relationship with SANABO has been, I don't know if I say it's been for the first time, delivered to an extent that one can safely say we were able to deliver on female boxing and amateur. I will quickly go through to the report by the Auditor General, in which it's on this basis that we are saying.
Yes. By the very same document. The very same document, but it speaks on finances. Yes. It's the very same document at the back. Auditor General, okay. Let's go on back.
On the report by the Auditor General, it's very clear, even on the annual report, that we got unqualified audit opinion. As such, I want us to, or should I say rather, the reason why we say it's not yet a clean audit, it's not as what we would have wanted, is because of the emphasis of matter that the Auditor General has expressed, which reads as follows. The Auditor General has identified significant uncertainties, which from that page, it's note 10 on the annual report. This talks to legal proceedings with regards to sponsorship, legal proceedings with legal fees, unpaid rental, and unpaid service fees. If you check on the significant uncertainty slide, these issues are outlined as to why they are where we still have uncertainties, because these issues are not yet resolved. the issues that the Auditor General has raised on the next slide is the reinstatement of corresponding figures. This was due to the prior error in terms of financial reporting, where a finance lease has been previously classified as an operating lease. As such, after correcting this error, the Auditor General has to draw the attention of the user to such correction. Boxing SA has got a fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which, lucky enough for this committee, we spoke about these figures in the last meeting that I've been here. We did say that these figures will stay on until the final payment is made when it comes to suspended employee salary, which in 2009 and 10 financial year, we've got 550,000 that has been paid to a suspended employee. This has been classified as fruitless by the Auditor General in the previous year. In the 2010 and 11 financial year, this is likely to appear again on the basis that the final payment to this employee has been finalized in August. We've got court settlement for dismissed employee. In the 2009 and 10 or the year under review, this has not been the case. The reason for the figures to be there is just to draw your attention to the fact that this has been classified as such in the previous year. Same goes for CCMA settlement. We've got interest and penalties accrued on VAT liability. Boxing SA has deregistered as a VAT vendor. However, there has been an outstanding liability with SAS on VAT. We have engaged SAS so that they can write off this tax liability on the basis of Section 91A of the Income Tax Act. But the engagements that we've had with SARS have not yet proved to us whether they are really going to resolve this matter. At this stage, this matter has been relayed to the board so that the board of Boxing SA takes this matter up with South African Revenue Services so as to show the seriousness of this matter. Boxing SA has, for the same year under review, had a material loss of 37,244. This is when we've got a situation where the cash banked doesn't agree to our licensing receipts, which means money has been received but not banked. Therefore, this was expressed as a material loss by the Auditor General. This was due to the fact that some of the licensing activities in Boxing SA do not take place at head office. They therefore take place at provincial level. We only receive the money. It's only at a later stage that Boxing SA must agree the actual money received against the licensing receipts issue. This has been identified by the Auditor General, and we've strengthened our internal control to address this so as to ensure that such losses do not happen again. We have got going concern, which the Auditor General has already, or which I have already alluded to. But I want to also indicate that in terms of addressing the going concern, the going concern comes to a play where we've got our liabilities exceeding our assets. You can confirm that on the statement of financial possession. But this going concern is expressed on the basis of accumulated deficit that Boxing SA has got. With the profit that we have had in the year under review of 2.1 million, it reduced the accumulated deficit to 3.7 million, which we are saying with the budget that we've got to date, we will be able at the end of the financial year 2010 and 11 to address the going concern status or the accumulated deficit, which means in 2 years' time, just to be safe, Boxing SA will be able to operate as a solvent entity. However, to fast track the process, more funding is required in order to address the going concern issue that has been raised for years by the Auditor General. This is where one would want to raise a point that the grant that Boxing SA receives from the department is not enough. And it is at the same point that it is important that Boxing SA continues cutting down on expenditure while at the same time trying to secure sponsorship. Other issues that were raised by the Auditor General are non-compliance with regulatory requirements, which with the engagement that we've got with the board currently, we believe that these issues will be addressed at the end of 2010 and 11 financial year. This will be sorted out. Most of the issues that were raised as non-compliance to Public Finance Management Act and trader regulations, most of these, if not all, are addressed to date. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The Congress of the People, Suga, Donald, so that we must finish with this, so that when you come back, then you come to the department at 4 o'clock when you go and meet at 314. Honorable Mackenzie, Memali Shiva, Suka, Donald. Yes?
Chairperson, thank you. Firstly, I'd like to say well done on making a profit. That's a change. And also an unqualified report. Just a few pressing issues that I'd like to have answers on. Does Boxing SA have a medical policy for its boxers? I know in the past when you've asked the question, I think it's been the responsibility of promoters. But when there's a death or a severe injury, is Boxing SA covered? Because Boxing SA needs to be covered because you're dealing with public funds here, by and large. So I think we'd like some answers on that. Secondly, this VAT liability. Is there a dedicated person dealing with this issue? Because it does not look good in the balance sheet. You know, 560,000 in penalties and VAT is not something that any department or the government wants to have. And that has to be sorted out as a matter of priority. You talk about no internal audit. Does that mean Mazars are going to be your internal auditors? Because what worries me is that you need management accounts. Auditing is often a historical perspective of what's happened, whereas management accounts are monitoring what's happening as and when it takes place. And to ensure that future problems, i.e. cash flow and other expenses, is there going to be an appointment of an internal auditor? Or is Mazars going to do it? Because I think your quarterly and monthly reporting has to be up to date and you're not going to have these problems in the future. So I'd like some answers on that. There was a comment that some of your cash flow problems are twofold. One, the SABC is late in paying fees to promoters, which in turn affects you. Has that been resolved? Has the SABC liquidity? We know from other committees that they've still got issues. Has that been resolved? But just as important, you also make a point be. Right, and then finally, and maybe probably the biggest issue here for me, you talk about development tournaments not taking place. You say there's a lack of funds. Is there someone at Boxing SA going to find a major sponsor for these development tournaments? Because you're not going to grow the sports unless you have a sponsor. You can't keep on coming to Parliament saying we want more money for development. Someone has to get up and do some work and find a sponsor, because without the development, you're not going to have growth in the sport. I think that's absolutely vital. Is Boxing South Africa committed to amateur boxing? I mean, your mission statement says you're here for professional boxing. But are schools being introduced to boxing? Are you guys providing gloves, teaching some rings or whatever for the youth of our country so they can get into boxing? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mackenzie. Manshiva?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on the training. Can you give us the number of learners who completed their training successfully? And the second one is on the delay of grant from the department. I just want to know if the delay doesn't create some problems. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Very few questions or clarities. My first one with the green book, just for some corrections, and on page 6, vis-a-vis page 8, I see that we've got two Dr. Zantane. I don't know who's who. The real Dr. Zantane. So, let me get that right. Then, basically, eight. Then, chapter 10. Then, on a lighter note, on your page 62, I just want to get my understanding. I don't want to use presumptions, because financial terms, make different interpretations. Once you bracket your amount of money, it means either it's a deficit or surplus. Yeah, that's the term, surplus or deficit. Now, in terms of what I can see is that on the last page, all those funds have been bracketed, because on the previous page, there's nothing. So can I just get clarity so that I can raise my questions on that page, the last page. Then on the substantive matter, Chairperson, I just want to get on the issue of the CEO 19 months down the line. Maybe the Chairperson and the DG can explain to me, because it's a financial year and 6 months down the line, is there no budget for this post that it is going on for so long, heading for the second financial year without a recourse? The other point, Chairperson, on the issue of the candidates metrics, informal training, I would have thought that you would have elaborated on that one, but you gave only one bullet point on your document. I thought that there are more, because you gave an impression that you are going to give more on this one, on the informal type of informal training that you gave. You just stopped at one, and then I don't know what happened to others, because if there are no more motivation, there is no need for that bullet point, because it gives me an impression that there is more. Chairperson, the department, the entity is complaining about the budget, and I am not sure whether how much they receive their opening balance. So what does it mean? What does it say? So that we can follow their products up to say this is the net that we spend. They are silent on that. Let alone that also the AG has picked up that
you have embargoed. You have not disclosed the your salary, starting from yourself and going forward. It's mentioned here. I think it's on page 34. If you look on my right, on page 34, where the AG is making a comment on that. Point six. Have you corrected that so that we don't repeat the same thing? I must commend you when you speak of financial terms that you've raised 6.2 million as a target that you had 6.5, I think, or so. So you're very close, which means it's good. But in terms of the actual expenditure on that, you are a little bit silent. I'm not getting a clear picture on what you want to say financially in terms of what you are raising there. My last concern, Chairperson, is around the going concern, because also I've noted that the going concern. I understand you are addressing it by saying that you need more funds on it. But the reality of the situation, I'm not sure whether you are motivating it enough so that Treasury can be sympathetic to your cause or not. Because it's one thing to say it's a going concern, but to have practical programs to say you would want to deal with this matter is quite another story. The very last one is around the penalties. You know, on your first page 61, the 615,000, the penalties on accrual on VAT, is that a lot of money? It means something is not right. Something is not right. Chairperson, when you speak on that one, just by mere looking at it, I think you need to be a little bit open to us what the cost effect are for that. Thank you, Chair.
Tonight,
Chairperson,
I'm sure you help you with the unqualified.
I'm hungry, Chairperson. That's why I want to get this thing to, because I'm hungry. No, talking about a going concern, I've got ongoing concerns about Boxing South Africa. And I've got, Chairperson. I suppose the reason why the gentleman is still an acting CEO is because you can't get rid of the old CEO. Because it says here that his salary will still be mentioned in the 2011 report, Chairperson. In other words, that man is still employed by, or am I wrong? Because that is the impression that I get, Chairperson. That is the impression that is created here. If it's wrong, then you must right the wrong. You see, Chairperson, you said that he must, the gentleman must sort of give us reasons why we must give him more money if he wants more money. And there are two reasons why I won't give him more money, Chairperson. The one being, we are paying money for court cases. He's in court too much, Chairperson. We can't waste money on court cases. Let's settle that, Chairperson. And the second big reason is that if I look in, you know, and then I come to the unqualified report, and I will ask myself, why did the Auditor General give you an unqualified report? You know, I was a headmaster for many a year, and there's sometimes when a child is naughty all the time, I say, give us the stand your silver a jar and cake or give you a jar. If things won't get better. Because if I look at many of these things, it's recurring, Chairperson. The audit committee is a simple thing. You must get the thing in order, Chairperson. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 on page 31. Non-adherence to requirements. There are 8 of them. Get those things right, Chairperson. And get it, you talk about clean, then get it clean, Chairperson. Those are very, very simple things. Then the last, there are so many things, Chairperson, but something that it is material losses. Now, if I get money, then my duty is really to pay that money in, or to see that it's paid in. And there's an amount of 37,000. It's not a lot of money. It's not to me about the money. It's about the principle. It's about corruption. If you're supposed to pay money in, then did we deal with this person or this province or whoever that person is or whoever the institution is? Did we deal with the person that is responsible for the fact that monies were received and not paid in? Did we deal with that person, Chairperson? That is really what I want to know, Chairperson. Now, so many other things, but let me rest my case there, Chairperson.
Thank you,
because I'm hungry, Chairperson.
I know you have the ongoing concern.
Ongoing concern.
And even if boxing has done this well, and then there are ongoing concerns.
No, yes.
That's great.
But ongoing concerns.
I would like you to respond to all the questions. And then from there we'll break and then we'll meet at 4 o'clock at 3:14. But we want to finish this boxing matter now before we break. Yes. Yeah. You will share all of you.
I think the first question was whether we have a medical cover for boxers. We do have medical cover for boxers, as we reported here even before. And one of the things that the promoters do in each tournament, there is a cover they will take. And also, Boxing South Africa takes a public liability.
The honorable member is new. It's only Donald who's understand the.
Yes. And then for the internal audit, I think as a board, as of last week, we had a meeting on the 19th. The issue of internal auditors within are being addressed, and I think it links up with the discussions we had with the Department of Sport in terms of hiring the consultant for that. So the process is going to be starting very soon. And the SABC situation, as we know that we are slowly getting our monies from SABC, but I think everything is not as we would like it to be. Because as you can see, even now, we are not having live boxing because SABC is actually playing both teams. So actual activity is basically an unavailable situation where tournaments are taking place even without a television coverage. The grant was late the last time because of late submission of documentation, and the reason for the late submission of documentation was something that we could not avoid. As part of the cutting down on staff and saving money, we lost part of capacity in terms of some of those things. Like our acting CEO has already said that the people in the office are actually sharing two or three jobs that we just to try and make up. And somewhere along the line, we're bound to have a situation where the capacity cannot deal with the situation. That's not an excuse, but it's something that has been addressed. And I think as a board sitting, we are looking at that. Because including even in the board, there was poor capacity because of the four members. We have seven complete members of the board. Now some of those issues and committees are starting to function, and that matter is going to be addressed. Development tournament, and which links up to amateurs and things. I think there's sometimes a misunderstanding as to what is our role and our mandate as Boxing South Africa. We do not run amateur activities, but we have a relationship with them in assisting them on different issues, discussions and talent identification, giving them a certain answer. But we cannot run anything. So what they take to the Olympics, what they take in the amateur tournament, we don't have any say. So we cannot answer anyway except to say we give them whatever assistance they require of us. And I think the CEO will give us the numbers of the learners and the program that we raise. I've already dealt with the delay of the delivery to the department, and that has happened. And the CEO, long-standing acting, he's a the wrong thing to have happened. But firstly, the first thing that we need to say is that it would have been very irresponsible of us as Boxing South Africa to hire someone to run the organization when we don't have money to pay him. Because at the time, we had a cash flow problem, we didn't have the money. But in our discussion with the department, that has been addressed. The process of recruiting a CEO was started, but there was a flaw in the whole process, and that's where we are. And I think by the next time that we'll be appearing here, we'll be having a fully fledged CEO that has been properly employed. And the budget, we have worked out the correct budget that we as Boxing South Africa will work. But I think roughly the money that we get from the department is about 3 million. 3 million. That's the money we get from the department. That 3 million must be able to run both the activities of staff and all other activities. And that's what we're looking. Now, the activities that happen in boxing are not exactly 3 million. They're far, far greater than 3 million. So there are innovative measures in which we take getting a provincial government and even some members of the board having to do things for boxing without remuneration, without claiming any money from it. So there are activities that are happening. So a proper budget has been drawn now, and it's going to be forwarded to the department for it to see where we are in terms of them. And the going concern has already been talked. But one of the major things is that the members have asked is about the issues of going concern in relation to the SARS issues and also the contingency plans that we put in terms of the liabilities that we might have in terms of the litigation that is going on. Those litigations, most of them are historical because we inherited them, but we have to address them, and we are addressing them. And I think by the next meeting, if we come here, they would have addressed. And once we've sorted out our meetings with SARS, then I believe we'll be having a clearer picture as to where we are with the going concern. Yes, I understand about the penalties, and I think with the penalties it's not acceptable, and I think somewhere on the line it will appear as fruitless expenditure, and I think with the office we will be addressing it. And I do agree with the Honourable that the Donald that the 37,000 is not a lot of money, but it's a matter of principle that we are following up, because when the Auditor General found it, we have to find out who was responsible, because as explained, that licenses sometimes are paid at the different provinces, and then we don't get correlation of money coming in, and so there's an investigation that's going on to find out who and why the money were not delivered. As you say, it's the principle that is important that needs to be addressed. And I think most of the questions have answered, and I think I will.
Don't repeat, please. Those that have been answered,
answer them.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the learners who were found competent, it's on page 16 of the annual report. It starts from page 15. This is a single formal training program in which we expected or we enrolled 50 boxers, but only 31 were able to attend and were found competent. When you go to page 17, we've got informal trainings in which the competence of the participants is not an issue, reason being that these are old officials for whom this was just a refresher course. There was a question with regards to the brackets on page 62. It is an accounting requirement that expenditure or any cash outflow should be in brackets. The whole of information that is on page 62 indicates
expenditure incurred by Boxing SA during the year under review. This is where you're able to can see that in terms of expenditure, one, Boxing SA was able to cut or not, because the prior year figure, you can then be able to make a comparison. We have got a question raised on page 34. On page 34, point number 6, the board members' remuneration. I would like to refer you to page 58 of the annual report. That information is disclosed. Of the importance that I think board members will agree with me on this is that the emoluments indicated on this page are not actually paid. Boxing SA has never been able to pay directors' emoluments to any of the board members. Same as what happened in the previous year, they were not paid, and during the year under review, they were not paid. In most of the cases, they do pay for themselves when it comes to meetings or other boxing activities. I think I'll... I think I've answered most of the questions that were raised.
It's a constitutional and the Act of Parliament mandate, and the department must make sure that that mandate is executed. It cannot be a question of a grant that the board sees and everybody must pray and fly on the wings of God. It's the full responsibility of the department to make sure that. Is our people meeting in terms of the law? Are all other things happening in terms of the law? It cannot be the question of the heart. It can't be the question of the heart. This is the act made out of this institution. And the department and ourselves accept that this act must be passed by this. In fact, when this act is passed, go and check that. It said,
what are the cost implications of this act? And the cost implications are there. And today tell us that everybody must pray to go to these meetings. If I was these people, I could have let the boxing collapse and not go to those meetings. And
finished.
Okay. Thanks. Yes, sir.
I just want to make 2 points. I think on the going concern status. There has been a process of totally rebudgeting for the organization. Management accounts are now going out. That question was raised specifically. And management accounts are detailed management accounts which look at variance between predicted spend and actual spend. So we know whether we're getting what we budgeted to get on a monthly basis and whether we're spending what we expected to spend on a monthly basis. And I think that just to add to that, the going concern issue was one that has been raised by a number of members. It's important to realize that going concern issue is primarily a function of the SARS liability, which is a historic liability, and if we're able to deal with that liability, the organization will, the concern over the going concern will no longer be there. So that's a very important focus. And then just one last point, which I don't think was dealt with, and that's the issue of sponsorships. There is a program underway to raise sponsorships. Clearly, I think the view is that we need to clean up our financial house first, and once we clean up our financial house, sponsors will come, and we're getting there to cleaning up the financial house, and then there'll be a very, very substantial effort on raising sponsorships.
John, you that point, I think you as a board must take into consideration. You're raising the point of a cash flow and the issue of prediction for a year. That is going to help you to deal with this, you think, this very, very, very important thing that you raise. But I think, let's go for break, and then all of us must come back. I thought that maybe we would finish with you. I have 8 questions that I want those questions to be responded here. One of those questions is, this committee would like by the 1st of November or December, there should be a CEO in the institution. And that is, if that is difficult, when we take that recommendation as the resolution in this house, the DG and itself have to say it's utterly difficult. But don't give us an impression that you're going to do it, because it will be a very wrong misleading of us that you go out and do that, and then it will be a wrong consequence that would happen. But I want us to discuss this. I said I have 18 questions. 8 questions. The other question that I want to raise was the question of, there was this Dumina Mateza fly by night all over the country here. And who has paid for that money for Dumina Mateza? Where is this report for Dumina Mateza? Where is it? And then an accounting authority of boxing. What was your role to what Dumina Mateza was doing around the country, which is something related to boxing? So those questions, I don't want to open them up, but we're going to discuss those issues very, 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 very seriously, and so that we check on them. Yeah, because those are some of the things. And then somebody speaks about the Tangatan, saying these things are historical, some of them. And also with the department, there are many things that are historical, but unfortunately they way of budgeting has changed now. If something is historical, up until today has not been resolved, clearly shows the capacity to resolve to issues that are matter of emphasis by the Auditor General. What it means, there is no capacity, because it can't be for 2 years. These things are coming, and then all the time are coming, so that this is a legacy that I have inherited long time ago. But that legacy, every year we talk about it. Where is the will to deal with that legacy and head on, so that we must deal with those matters? And some of the things from that thing, I think that squarely I have to discuss with all of you as matters that, you see, the question of compliance with the laws and regulations, and those things are squarely the issues of the board. Only the issues of the board. And if there's anybody else who have to carry this blame, is the issue of the board. Why flouting the PFMA and Treasury regulation? And on simple things that are there, why should it be the question of 37,000 is not banked? Who is dealing with the banking? In any simple sense of business, if there's money coming in the morning, in the afternoon, that money is banked. Because if it is not banked in this way, in the mind of any other person, this person can borrow himself this money, and then for the whole month, and then towards the end of the month, he pays that money back. But he pays it at any time, because there will be no query whether this person pays this money at any time. And that a kind of a situation that occurred there. And then it's not something that it has to happen. The question of the VAT is a law that speaks of the VAT, the VAT. The question of the pay as you earn is a law. Are you saying boxing South Africa, you completely obliterate and undermine laws that deals with a VAT, which makes you to have money that DG is requesting from the National Treasury to give you money that you don't pay? It's a question of the pay as you earn, saying the boxing South Africa, you obliterate that kind of a responsibility of the pay as you earn. Many things that are here, we'll have to discuss when we come back, because I have some few things that we must deal with when we come back. So I think we'll have, and then the question of the response, your feedback on the key issues raised by the Auditor General. Your feedback. When are you responding to those things, or you must give up your feedback on interaction on the issues that have been raised by the Auditor General? And the question of the consultants.
I've heard Dr. Nathan speaking about the consultants. Consultants, in my view, take a big amount of money and then come and again consulting and take money, and then that money is the money that can be used for other things. Do you still have consultants apart from this one? That is an indication that there will be somebody going to be a consultant to you. So I have quite a number of questions that I want these members to share those responses with us. So we are coming back at 4. Yeah, withdraw that document. Withdraw it. Honourable members, the document of the turnaround strategy. After we have done the annual report, Dr. Ngatan will say, Chairperson, when you call us, we'll come and explain to you how boxing is going to get a sponsor and what all these other things that you want to do, your intentions. These are intentions, but today is what we have used. So let's meet at 4 o'clock at 314. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dijin. Unfortunately, we have made a provision for food for the evening. For now, we knew that we were going to be late and run for the house. So we're already going to the house because it's quarter to 2. Mark Building, yes. 314 is in Mark Building. No, yes.
Yeah, laying up a bag. Oh, I see no one joining up. Yeah, but there's much building.
M314.
But even to me,
the number of women right now.
Oh, okay.
You can leave and come straight to other